love you. Come up.
It was a love fest.
I love war.
I love fighting with banks.
I love that Russia is dropping bombs all over ice. I love it.
I love protesters.
I love the Second Amendment.
You know, I love construction.
I love great generals. I love open markets. I love General MacArthur.
I love the United Nations.
My boy, I love you. Come up, Eric. Come up. I love you, my boy.
Heck, I love these comeback people.
I love what I'm doing.
I love banks.
I love sports.
I love renovating.
I love that red hat.
I love women.
I love John Deere, too.
Big, strong guy. I love you.
I love buying a building.
I love the old days.
I love your shirt.
I love the book.
I love Virginia.
I love Georgia.
I love Mexico. I
love New Jersey.
I love South Korea. I love Japan.
I love China. I love everybody.
Say, I love John Deere in there.
Yeah, I love John Deere too, in addition to whoever else loved it.
Well, love is all around on Valentine's Day. Isn't that nice?
Of course.
Love's buying a building.
It's a message of love from Donald Trump.
It's got to be fun to love all those things.
Vice News put that together.
It is Valentine's Day. Probably not when you hear this, but it is right now. And
how many of you got it on last night?
Yeah.
Got it on.
Get it on. We don't have any special Valentine's program today. Although I think I got a couple doghouse emails. Maybe I'll check that. Other than that, boy, I tell you, the things in front of me are... maybe we can start with something a little lighter than the Michigan State gymnastics coach getting blown out over that scandal there.
Yeah.
Where's Maz?
Maz? He's not coming.
What? It's Maz Day.
No, he switched with Brandon, but Brandon couldn't make it. Good point, though. I'm sure some people are wondering, why isn't someone else there?
He's getting his carnation.
Yeah, he's getting his carnation. He's going to watch your game. I still can't get over that this fourth grade event, that they have this end of the season thing with parent night.
Yeah.
And carnations and all that BS. Fourth grade?
I always thought those things were for when you move on to the next level, be it senior in college or high school, or maybe eighth grade. I had an eighth grade graduation.
Yeah, eighth grade graduation was kind of a big deal, I guess. I just remember I had to wear a suit.
I can't believe they have kindergarten graduation now.
Oh, come on. Preschool. You got to be kidding me.
They have preschool graduation?
Preschool. Really? Graduation? But if you don't graduate, you're an idiot.
Yeah?
I mean, same goes for eighth grade, for that matter. When I was in eighth grade, I remember thinking, what is the big deal about graduating eighth grade? Because I remember as a kid always saying, well, you got to go to college, you got to go to college, you got to go to college. And so I just thought, eighth grade, you're halfway there.
We had someone in our class that almost didn't graduate.
Eighth grade?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She did, though. Thank God.
Get some audio up.
Is that me?
I think it's you.
It's the TV, I think.
Oh, it's the TV.
Yeah, boy.
That's right.
The audio quality is pretty good, though.
It's your TV.
It is, exactly.
No, Mark, did you ever have, I don't think you've had Char in daycare yet.
No.
But we had, younger boy was in daycare. Mm-hmm. They had a graduation ceremony. They sent out invitations. They had cake and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
So you couldn't back out of it or you'd be that family, you know, that didn't show up to your own kid's graduation.
Who spoke? Who spoke at his graduation?
Yeah, like the teachers in
Kofi Annan come in and give a nice speech about the United Nations. Could you imagine that?
They had caps and gowns.
Really?
And rolled up diplomas.
What?
And all the kids did was sword fight with the diplomas. They could give a shit about why they're
kind
up there.
Of adorable in a way.
It's ridiculous.
Oh my God, how stupid.
Well, you know, it's a big achievement.
I was asking, you know, one of the caretakers, like, who was the valedictorian?
Yeah.
The GPA, they just gave me a look, you know.
Why?
So, I don't know.
Somebody has to win.
I don't know. It just seems like it's part of the telling kids how great they are all the time. If you have a big ceremony for finishing fourth grade or third grade or sixth grade or fifth grade. And hasn't the whole self-esteem thing, haven't we determined that went a little too far, that too many kids thought they were a little too much, a little too...
you know how I feel about it.
Sort of entitled.
Yeah, I think society overvalues kids in general. They're not all great.
Well, not only are they not all great, I just think kissing their ass all the time and being their best friend. And, I mean, I honestly don't think a parent, maybe when they're older, when you're an adult, that makes sense. But when a child's 14 or 13, say, yeah, my kid's my best friend or my dad's my best friend. It's like, no, he's your parent. He should be your best friend.
I tell Charlotte all the time how much she sucks. Just kidding, God. My mom gets so bummed when I say that.
People probably think that you don't like her.
Like, sometimes I don't. And she's like,
don't say that.
Don't say Charlotte's being an asshole.
She kicked me in the face this morning.
Charlotte did?
Yes.
What a bitch.
She wakes us up in the morning, and I was going to get up with her so Julie could sleep. And she's just like, no, Mom. And then went whap right in my face with her foot.
On purpose?
Probably.
Oh, was there a timeout?
Psycho.
She get a timeout for that?
No, I did put her in timeout today for something.
Does she still like timeout?
Not anymore.
Not as much, okay.
It's actually proven to be very effective now. As has counting to five. I got to tell you, you can get off on a real power trip when you just go one, and she never moves on one. But once I get to three, it's like, all right, I'll go do that now. Which it's my fault for even making it five. I should have just made it on the count of three, like most people.
Oh yeah.
I'm a bleeding heart, so I made.
So she doesn't want. She doesn't want timeout.
No, no, because timeout consists of her putting her face on, like nose on the wall, and just staring at the wall. It never. It doesn't really. It kind of works. I don't know.
It seems. I mean, every time I see a timeout and the kid is literally bawling, like, "Oh my god, I just spent 2 minutes by myself." I mean, do they not realize 2 minutes? Get a clue, kid. 2 minutes is such a short time.
Oh,
fuck,
but it's
wake
not
up.
In their life. I mean, look at it. You're.
What? I know you've only been alive for a short time.
Yeah, you've only been alive for 2 years.
Yeah, so two.
And that's true. I don't know what percentage of that life is. Like, a year is half their life. A year to me is nothing.
What's the most ineffective punishment you got as a kid? You know, like, they make you write lines and things like that. That you know, anything that was, like, completely ineffective to you? Or was effective? I don't know.
Everything. I did have to write a bunch in high school. I got in trouble and to write the same, like, sentence over and over.
I never had to do that. I don't know. I didn't get in. It's a pretty good weasel, I guess.
I thought I was. Apparently not. I remember what I got in trouble for, too. I just got up and walked out of class. What a dick.
Walked out of class?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not dealing with this. See ya.
What was going on in class?
I don't know. I can't remember. I can... Oh, boy. Drew, I really don't remember. I used to
what grade?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say,
I think sophomore in high school.
Really?
I think it was an English class.
Wow.
You I really can picture our teacher. I cannot think of his name. I'll have to ask. Yeah.
Wait, you're pissed at the teacher?
No, well, I mean, he's the one that disciplined me.
Oh. Oh, he disciplined you and you walked out as a protest?
No, I walked out and got disciplined for just walking out.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I walked out. I was probably bored.
Okay, let me take
or
care of this.
Just being an asshole.
Yeah. Well, kids can be assholes. Sorry, Rose. Sorry, Rosie. Right now at Zod Ford and Holly, not only can you lease new cars for less than your cell phone bill, but you also save massive money on several demos they have in stock. For example, save almost $13,000 on a new 17 Ford Explorer Platinum, the most loaded Explorer on the planet, or save $17,000, this is a ton of money, on a new 16 Ford Expedition Limited. Both are four-wheel drive, have virtually every safety and luxury item you could ever want from an SUV. These deals will not last long, and you can only get them at Zot Ford in Holly. As some of you may know, Zot Ford has a very hot sales staff, and they are celebrating their hotness with even hotter deals on Ford Escapes and F-150s. We've heard this many times. It's still worth repeating. Zot Ford and Holly's leasing the new 17 Ford Escapes for $109 per month for only 24 months. Also lease a new 16 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 for $188 a month on the same 24-month lease. Check out their wild deals, hot sales staff, and massive inventory at dealsinad.com. Get there! Also, when you buy or lease your next new or used vehicle from Zot Ford, you'll receive $500 in free travel from Deals in a D VIP travel website. That's $500 of free hotel stays only for the month of February, only from your friends at dealsinad.com. They're quite pumped about this because I think there's a sales contest going on for it, so they want to give these away like crazy. So I don't think there's any catch or anything funky about it. They want to give you free travel if you pick up a vehicle there.
17,000 off?
Yeah, 17,000 off. Well, the demo cars, so they probably got just a few miles on them.
You can almost like get a second car.
Yeah, with the 17 grand, that's true.
Or put down, you know, jeez.
Or you can take it to the casino and double that 17 grand.
Yeah, double your money.
Cars.
Hell yeah. Maybe you've missed out on a promotion recently. Maybe you've been sexually harassed. Maybe you've been working overtime and not getting paid for it. Maybe you're just getting screwed at work because of your age, race, or gender. If it's happening to you.
I'm being harassed.
Happens just like that. You're on a free junket in Hawaii and some reporter follows you. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. It could happen to anybody. I think she called Gold Star Law. They didn't take the case, though. Call them for sure. The call is free. The meeting with the attorney is free. You pay nothing until they win for you. It's very simple. It's confidential. They don't call your employer. You can't lose on that one. Gold Star filed more employment law cases in Michigan last year than all other firms combined. That's what they do. It's what they're best at. Everybody's aware of it, and now you are. Get Gold Star Law. Get the money you deserve. 248-851-GOLD. 248-851-GOLD or click goldstarlaw.com. Do it! And they do the other stuff, too. The DUI, drug possession, any crime, assault, maybe in a car crash, maybe a slip and fall. They've got slip and fall people now working specifically in that area, so... you don't have to spend a gazillion dollars on TV to get a good slip and fall attorney. Call Gold Star about that, too. And so I was going to talk about my new occupation, which I think might be I want to go into the vetting business, the contract vetting business. Hmm. I was reading about the Dan Gilbert offer.
Yeah.
Which is to finish the jail. Which is $420 million worth of work, I guess.
Oh, it's 420 now? I thought it was, okay.
Well, they're going to do it for 300.
300, yeah. Yeah. It's gonna, I thought it was 450, but now there's all these hidden costs.
Well, that's why it has to be vetted. But guess how much they need to pay someone to vet the contract?
No, I didn't even think of this.
$260,000.
You got to be shitting me.
No, I'm not. I was reading the story today, and I'm going...
How long does it take to vet a contract? Like, how big is that contract?
I'm sure it's a big contract, but $260,000, that's a year's salary for an executive.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
So it takes a year? I mean, they've said...
It's going to take half a year? How long? They want it done in a week, don't they?
They said they need a couple months to look this over. So
that's still insanely ridiculous.
You know, it's like these consultants that are working for the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
This guy who was traveling like crazy. He didn't live here. He'd go back and forth. The city's paying for all his travel, all his hotels, all this money. So then they, like they're doing us a big favor. They said, you know what? The city's not going to pay for his travel anymore. He's just going to stay here and pay for his own travel. But we're going to pay him 40 extra bucks an hour. What? Then you are paying for his travel.
For his travel. Is that the same guy that did he take like a limo like three blocks and bill the city?
I think that was one of the consultants working for the city manager, for the emergency manager.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially like that guy.
People in media were like, three blocks? You couldn't walk three blocks? Although, of course, he would have billed the city for walking three blocks for time lost.
This is really
consultants, man.
Funky. Consultants, my God.
I love it when consultants are supposed to fix stuff, which, why would they want to fix anything when they're kept on a retainer?
Exactly. Well, yeah, and if they're there all the time, because every consultant I've worked with in radio is always the consultant. It's not like they just come in and then you hire them again maybe a year later. They're just, they're constantly on the, it's like having a lawyer on retainer.
They're always consulting.
I think so. So, yeah, 260 grand, and then there was another... There was a request for funds. I'm looking for the story. It's not that exciting. But
it seems to be the gist of it, though.
They needed another $500,000, and I think that was to go over the complete plans. But isn't that vetting the contract, essentially? Isn't that the same thing? Or is that the I guess that's the construction part of it to determine.
I don't know.
$500,000 to do that?
I'm with you. You should get in the vetting business.
It seems like it's pretty lucrative. I mean, if they're suggesting that they need a couple months, so somebody's making 260 grand in a couple months, and somebody else is making a half a million. And of course, you know, it's taxpayer dollars, so
who cares? Nobody. If you overpay.
This is what makes me so mad about taxes. You know, nobody's watching your money. Nobody gives a fuck about your money.
Is that something that they bid on, or they just have a law firm?
I didn't see anything about bids. I saw nothing about bids. I don't think they said who specifically was doing it.
You say it's your personal life or your personal business. I think you'd take a few bids on vet it.
If it was your personal, if you're building something for $420 million, would you pay somebody that much to vet it?
You just have your group of lawyers, your law firm, and that's they charge what they charge?
Probably. But it just seemed ridiculous to me. And the other big story today was, well, there's a few big stories, but this Michigan State doctor.
Oh, wow. You know, creep.
These cases, I know we've talked a lot about these. People are so troubled at the idea that someone that they really believe in could be doing this. These guys are so good at this, these pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
They're just such seasoned pros. They know how to groom the people. They know how to make all the people around them feel comfortable and safe. And this guy actually put his finger in a girl's vagina and in her ass.
Oh, God.
While her mother was in the room.
Mom.
Yep.
No glove?
No glove.
Now, before he's put his hand in vaginas to, like, align their hips,
mm-hmm.
What was the excuse for putting it in the anus?
I don't know.
I just can't get a good
laugh.
I can't get a good alignment on these hips up here. Let me try from back here.
Yeah, why don't you just put your penis in there while you're at it? See if that helps.
God, I probably didn't get off on that. It's probably just the old.
Well, the women
power of
a number of the women said he was sexually aroused during these procedures,
ew.
So they could tell he had a boner. Obviously,
ew. Can you imagine? Do you ever think about that? Your doctor could have a boner.
I know.
Gross.
I know.
I mean, it is a job to them, right? So. You know.
I think it's very much a job. I think doctors generally. I always found that hard to believe, but I think I understand it now.
What, that it's a job?
Well, yeah, it's a job. You see a million people. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you notice somebody's a little better shaped than the next or a little worse.
Well, I've had someone say, you know, like, how can you guys watch porno in the room together? I'm like, well, because I'm not trying to get off while I'm watching it. It's just porn, right?
Really? I think it's fun watching porn with other people.
Yeah, but you're not trying to get off.
No,
so you're
I'm not pounding off.
No.
Nobody else is.
I mean,
if somebody did,
be,
I'd leave
no
the
one
room.
Else is.
Yeah, you know, what was that story? Do you remember the story about somebody at a bachelor party?
It was, yeah.
And somebody started beating off?
Yeah.
Like there's like 20 people in the room?
Sure, why not? Tunnel vision.
And the guy,
she was in love with him.
Was the guy really drunk? Or was he just
I don't
excited
remember.
In the moment?
I just, you know, in the moment. So why not?
I gotta say, I would be so disturbed to see that. I mean, I'm sure I could get over it.
Yeah. No, I think it'd
be, well, actually, I'd probably be laughing,
too. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be funny. I'd want to be there.
You would never live it down.
Several women said he was sexually aroused during the procedures, according to the lawsuit. Others said he also massaged their breasts. Now, what did that do? What clinical effect did that have?
A mammogram?
Yeah, looking for lumps.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
Let's see. This one victim was Rachel Denhollander. Who filed a police report in August and a civil lawsuit against Nasser University earlier this year. She met the doctor in 2000. She was a 15-year-old gymnast after family in Kalamazoo Gymnastics referred her. He was a prominent physician who was revered for his work. I've rarely met a personality as magnetic as him. He was very skilled at drawing you in, making you think he was taking care of you. Yet she said Nasser assaulted her during her first visit in January 2000 with her mother in the room.
Oh, man.
He told me he was going to line her hips, then came behind her and penetrated her vagina with his fingers while reaching underneath her shorts. He also gave her a sports massage during the visit and penetrated her again with his fingers, she said. Her mother never saw what happened, and she never told her, even though she felt shocked and uncomfortable. What he did was brazen. It was very rehearsed, very practiced. It was clear he did this on a regular basis. My thought process was he wasn't doing anything medically unnecessary. He would not be allowed to treat top athletes and children if there was any question of the medical procedures he was doing. She saw him for five visits through April. It wasn't until his last visit when she said he unhooked her bra, massaged her breast, and physically became aroused that she realized something was not right. But 16 years passed before she came forward and filed the report in August. Now 32, living in Louisville, she only fully realized she'd been victimized when media reports emerged in September, in which he denied he did intravaginal work. Yeah, that was a tough one to deny. The amazing thing, though, is that I know at least one girl, I think it was a few girls, went to the coach and said, "Coach, is it okay for him to put his fingers inside me?" And the coach, and I think was suggesting she was going to file a complaint. The coach, "Oh, no, 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 don't do that."
That's the one that just got fired,
just
right?
Just got suspended.
They're suspended.
Yeah, suspended.
With pay?
Let's see. I don't know if they said if it was with pay.
Well, I know the football coach up in at Michigan State, they got suspended. It's with pay.
She coached gymnastics for 27 seasons, spending Monday morning. They don't, her base pay is $75,768.
Really? To be the gymnastics coach?
Yeah. Hmm. Do you think it's a lot?
Or
not that much?
I guess it's a major university. I guess that's about right. Non-revenue.
I kind of thought
non-revenue
sport. I know. I still kind of thought she'd be paid more, but I guess, yeah, non-revenue sport.
So if the contract vending or vetting thing doesn't pan out, you got that as a secondary?
Doesn't pan out.
Oh, coaching gymnastics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could fill in, I guess.
Second option.
I've watched enough in the
Olympics. Just get up on that beam and don't fall. I mean, what else do you say? Run really fast, jump on that trampoline thing, and then do some flips.
You know, she
can do it.
Look at this picture. Tell me, if you were expecting to see the picture of the Michigan State gymnastic coach,
is this what you expect to see? You don't have to show me.
She's got this giant double chin.
She's pretty big.
She's got a fat face, and I mean, this thing's probably a good picture of her. But
maybe that's why she only got $75,000.
I'm not judging her, except she certainly did not have good judgment about this case.
No.
Oh, boy, did she have bad judgment. But you know what? I see this over and over and over when you see these cases. People just don't want to believe it. Even people that should believe it and know what to do, they don't do it so frequently. They just freak out or they just don't believe. They just cannot believe it. It's just too much.
Did you want to hear more about Jeffrey Sandusky? Since
Yeah, why don't we stack the molestation
the pedophilia
stories. So it's a good broadcasting.
Ski Dog Jr., he got arrested. I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but now some of the details are coming out. And it was just two girls. For some reason, Matt said one was a boy yesterday, but it was two girls of his girlfriend. So when questioned, the one girl said that he asked for her photos while she was getting ready for school in the morning. And then he asked to, hey, erase all those texts so none of this shit gets mentioned to anyone or seen by anyone. He then allegedly asked for more photos in different scenarios, which she declined to send. He responded that they should talk, to which she retorted, we don't need to talk. We're not going to talk. You did what you did, and I'm not giving you a chance to try and justify it. Don't you love that this teenager is putting him in his place?
That's pretty
you
wild.
You literally tried to guilt me into doing it, and you told me specifically what I needed to do. You know who does that? Rapist abusers.
Oh, boy.
The victim claimed she
I
only...
I bet that freaked his ass out.
Yeah. Oh, good. Fuck him. The victim claims she was only received disturbing text from him once, and that he told her lewd pictures of herself already existed online. So that was his excuse. Like, these pictures are already out there of you. I just wanted to see what they are. She knew his talk was bullshit and acknowledged that he shouldn't be asking stuff like that. The victim's mother also told police that Sandusky advised her that he was trying to get help by getting off the internet.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to help her get off the internet.
Oh, sure he is.
Then she declined that any photos ever existed. The victim reported that recently while she was in the shower, she could hear Jeffrey Sandusky walking down the hallway and heard footsteps stop as if someone was looking into the bathroom. She advised that there's a crack near the door and you can see into the bathroom if you're trying to look into the bathroom.
Good.
So then, of course, she told her sister, who said, the same thing happened to me by this guy. But they never told their mom because they knew that mom liked him. But they told their dad, and the dad's like, yeah, this is going to the police right now.
Cool.
Yep, so now he's been arrested, 14 counts of sexually abusing minors.
I didn't read anything. Sandusky. I didn't read anything about actual sex. Was there any sex involving him?
You know what? I haven't seen any of that. But 14 counts, it can't just be asking for pictures one time, right?
No, I wouldn't. No, there's got to be.
I don't know the exact counts, what they're for, but it's enough to hold him on $200,000 bond.
Yeah, it's pretty significant.
It's a big bond. Yeah.
It's also Sandusky's kid,
adopted kid.
Well, still.
But, you know.
The kid probably went through hell.
Well, he was molested, right?
He must have been. He had to be.
I'm almost positive that was part of it.
Yeah,
so.
I read about his kid being molested.
You know, unfortunately.
And by the way, Dottie Sandoz's wife.
I know.
She was in court.
Yeah. Well, he was arrested at mom's house.
Nice.
But don't they say people
nice
that
being
are.
Being observant, Dottie.
Sexually abused are more likely to.
Yeah.
Do it
oh,
again,
yeah.
You know, do it
to hell yeah. How about this half-brother of Kim Jong-un? His Playboy half-brother. Playboy. Have you seen this guy, by the way? He sure looks like a Playboy to me. Who is he banging?
Is Un behind this, by the way?
God, don't you think?
I thought so. That was the first thing. Yeah.
Poisoned by poison needles at an airport in Malaysia by two females?
A woman.
It's a pretty wild story.
Yeah. But why would he knock off his brother? Is his brother trying to take power?
He was an outspoken opponent of Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. But his play, what's the Playboys? This guy doesn't look like a Playboy.
Well, isn't Un a Playboy?
I don't know if he's a Playboy. What does that mean?
Well, he likes the ladies.
And by North Korean standards, too, keep in mind.
That's true. Playboy, yeah.
I mean, that might mean he, you know, he gets a couple pieces of ass a year. I don't know.
Yeah, he dresses like a Playboy. He's got that cool Kangol hat.
I'm looking for the Playboy part of the story. The chubby eldest son.
Oof.
I've seen something of a political lightweight when he fell out of favor.
Well, yeah, shouldn't he be in charge if he's the eldest?
Yeah. Supposedly close to the uncle. He was embarrassingly detained at a Tokyo airport trying to enter Japan to visit Disneyland in a false Dominican Republic passport accompanied by two women and a child.
I remember that story.
That was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I think that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it was a little while.
Yeah.
He spoke disparagingly of Kim Jong-un, saying he lacked any sense of duty or seriousness, warned that bribery and corruption would lead North Korea's eventual collapse.
Well, hasn't Un killed his uncle and numerous family members?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Where's the Playboy part? Oh, he was kicked out of a luxury hotel in Macau over a $15,000 debt. His son studied at university. He labeled his uncle Kim Jong-un a dictator in an interview. My dad was not interested in politics. When that's why his father was passed over. There was even speculation Beijing was watching his back. I'm just looking for the Playboy part. I'm obsessed with how this ugly fat fuck could be a Playboy.
Didn't you see some of those pictures? He reminded me of John Gosselin.
Oh, he does look like John Gosselin.
Oh, yeah, there's a resemblance. There is.
A couple of the pictures.
Definitely.
Wow, maybe Un was trying to kill John Gosselin. What irony.
Do we have any handy Gosselin audio? It's always worth re-listening to.
What are his big lines on?
I know, I'm trying to think.
That's my pitchfork, our pitching tuning thing to figure out.
John Gosselin.
Oh, I had therapy. I went in for therapy.
Go to therapy and figure it out.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Go to therapy and figure it out.
Well, what did he say about Kate? Rip on Kate?
I don't remember. Of course he did.
I didn't buy a washer and dryer yet. Like, yeah. I have to do laundry. Like, you meet so many different people in the laundromat.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, aren't you? I'm like,
it's fucking really fast.
You gotta do laundry.
Happy birthday to you.
Parents to a set of twins and sextuplets, John and Kate put their life out there for John and Kate plus 8, but they divorced in 2009.
I don't really talk to my ex-wife, so it's all kind of just helter-skelter. Like, I have my life, and she has her life, and we have our life with our kids.
It's text, and that's
it. You don't have life with your
schedule. I saw her in person.
Oh, I see her in person, like at the bus stop and stuff, but I don't talk to her.
It's all just, you know, handing it.
It's not that I hate her, it's just I just don't talk to her.
Paparazzi used to chase
a little bit similar.
I thought he was so hot there for a while. Remember he knocked up that star reporter?
Yeah, Kate Major, who then went off to date Lowen, Michael Lowen.
Michael Lowen.
What a loser.
I know.
Nice choice in men.
And actually, she was the crazy one in the relationship. He dumped her. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Didn't he knock her up? One of them knocked her up, right?
Yeah, well, first, Gosselin knocked her up.
Ugh, God.
In a one-nighter.
How strong is that guy's sperm?
He was supposed to do an interview with Kate, but he was in Pennsylvania, and she was in New York or something, and so she met him at a hotel halfway between, and he nailed her. The first night, she's supposed to be interviewing him before she interviewed Kate, and he nailed her.
You're really beautiful.
Yeah, Kate, we have an open marriage. It's okay. If you're not on fertility
therapy and figure it out.
If you're not on any fertility pills, then I don't think you'll get pregnant. There's no reason to use a condom.
I swear I'll pull out. I mean, I always have.
Oh my God. Yeah, some of those kids, the 8 kids, there's like 3 kids that he never sees anymore. He hasn't seen them in years.
I know. Don't they run away from him too?
They won't go. Have, they won't go to see him.
A loser.
But Kate plus 8 is now back on TV.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Aren't those kids like 35 by now?
I know. Well, how about that other fucked up family? They had the 21 kids and one of them was molesting two of the daughters.
Is it the Duggars?
Yeah, the Duggars.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some crazy Duggar stories in the tabloids about that. A couple of those dudes.
Speaking of reality families, have you seen the polygamist show? The guy that's married to like three chicks?
No, I haven't. I've read about it, though.
And they have kids, and of course, their oldest girl had to come out to them. You know, they're really religious Mormons, had to come out to them as lesbian.
Oh.
And dad was, you could tell dad was a little pissed.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
But the main chick, his first wife, they're in love, but they're not physical anymore.
Uh huh.
She got catfished.
What?
Somebody catfished her, yeah.
Really?
Exposed all this stuff about her, yeah.
So she was looking for some wiener?
Some hoagie, yeah.
And he got catfished. That's great. Had she told him everything?
I don't know. I got to find that full story. It was on Nightline one night. then they had the scene where she told him that she's a lesbian.
What a show. Yeah, catfish is coming back.
It is.
They have an episode March 1st. That was on. I was watching Teen Mom last night.
Oh, what's happening on?
Janelle's having her third kid with her third unemployed father
now,
in a row.
In real up-to-date life, she just got engaged to that guy.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
So he's a great guy. He's only, I think, had a couple felonies. Doesn't work.
She's perfect for him, then.
A couple kids. It's her third kid by the third father.
That's perfect.
And that jerk she used to be with, that she had the other kid with.
Nathan.
Yeah, they've visited with Nathan, which is kind of funny, because he was talking about what a jerk the new guy is.
Yeah.
And how jealous he is, because Nathan told somebody that maybe there's a chance he and Janelle will get back together. And she was pregnant with that guy's kid.
Ew.
So, of course, he had to, I've got to nip this in the bud. And he texts him and says, no, you won't be with Janelle anymore. That's not happening.
Whatever, tough guy.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Hey, where's Kiefer at?
Oh, he's long gone. I don't
even
know
do an update on Kiefer.
They should. I mean, it'd be cool. I wish they would.
I hope to God he's working as a short cook short line cook at a restaurant. Short order. Yeah, short order cook.
I wish they'd do an update
cook.
On the first loser, Andrew, that she had the kid with. She was on 16 and pregnant.
That's right.
She had an episode.
There's actually some sympathy for her then.
Oh,
a little bit, because he left her.
Well, yeah, he did. He was such a loser. Oh, my God, was he a loser. He was 19. She was 60. She was barely 16. So he was probably having sex with her when she was 15. And he claimed he was a model.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd lived the big life. I've had the fancy cars. He's 19. I've had the big life. And, cool. I quit modeling, and I might go back into it. But then, of course, Janelle and her mom are saying, Andrew, aren't you going to get a job? He's like, everywhere I applied for, I'm overqualified. He applied at McDonald's, and he was overqualified. They wouldn't hire him.
Oh, they're like, you can't work here. You're too good for us, sir.
You got too much going for you. Sorry. So he never got a job. He was going to get a job when Janelle decided to keep the kid, which I think she never doubted she was going to keep the kid. He was going to have a job, and they were going to move out when she had the kid. But, of course, he never got a job. He never contributed a dime, and then he denied the kid was his.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
She got a DNA test and revealed that, yes, it was his. And he basically admitted he wanted nothing to do with the kid.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, poor baby Jace.
Yep. Jace does not want to be with Janelle, by the way. He wants to stay
Barbara?
With her mom. With Barbara.
Barbara.
She's hilarious,
and
actually.
That sent Janelle in a downward spiral.
She is such a bitch to her mother. That's what I can't stand
she's a bitch
about
to
that
everybody,
show.
Man.
Well, but her mother gets the worst of it. Here she raises this fucking kid for her, and she's like, give him back. I want him back. And she's only with her ninth boyfriend that's a felon in a row. She's lived with him for like 2 days.
Who has her other kids?
Well, she has the one, Nathan's kid, and then she's got the other one she just had in real life, but on the show she's pregnant. So she has two of them. And she's a shit to the kids who, when Jace goes over there, Jace will be like, I want to play video games. And she'll say like, oh, God, Jace, you always want to play video games? Or, we have to get the controller out. We have to set it up. And she's like, well, can't you play outside? So I mean
the kid should play outside.
He just, I think, is made to feel he's a pain in the ass.
If he always wants to play video games, why are you taking it? Just keep it hooked up.
I know. That's what I thought.
If it's such a problem to hook it up, just keep it hooked up. Exactly. One of those other idiots.
Who doesn't have video games? Who has a small kid that doesn't have video games hooked up constantly?
Yeah. Or on a device or something, right? One of those other idiots is pregnant or just got pregnant. Was it Kaylin? Is Kaylin pregnant again?
No, not her. She and Javi just got divorced.
I mean, in real life, like currently, one of them just
announced the one that was going out with the big bodybuilder, Chelsea.
Oh.
Chelsea's pregnant with Cole's kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Like currently.
They're actually a normal couple. They seem
I like
very
Chelsea.
Normal. Yeah, she's cool. She's all right.
Well, what about Randy, her dad?
Randy.
The most likable person in the history
really
of
cool,
Team
yeah.
Mom.
He's not on that much anymore, but Chelsea had a bachelorette party,
mm-hmm.
and they went to this place in South Dakota, this cosmic place that's really weird. Like, I don't know what's going on there. I can't even explain it. But anyway, her friends had, like, dildos attached to their heads and around their waist, and Chelsea was trying to throw rings on them, like a little bachelorette game.
Oh,
so, I mean, I've never horrible. Seen dildos on Teen Mom before.
But you know they're there.
Oh, yeah. No question.
They're usually in overflowing from one drawer. And some poor PA has to go in there and organize it so it's not on TV.
Day in Rock coming up in a minute. But first, this important message from our friends at the offices of David Hall. If you love the podcast, one of the best ways to support it is to support our sponsors like Hall Financial. Interest rates have been shifting a lot lately. That could mean you could save money by refinancing. Hall Financial makes it so easy to find out what your payment could be if you refinance today with their online chat feature. Just click the Hall Financial logo on the Drew and Mike podcast website. Should be there anyway. And you can chat with an expert. There's no obligation. They don't even need to know who you are to answer your questions. So you can anonymously find out about saving money. What's to lose? Go to the website, Drew and Mike Podcast.
Who are you?
And click the link to chat. Or you can call 248-308-5000. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Restrictions apply. A Michigan licensed broker, lender, and NMLS number 1467435. Equal housing lender. Hut! Okay, second out of nine. And then Greg's just wrapping up the Valentine's Day deal, of course, unfortunately.
Okay, second down and nine.
You don't have that going yet. Boy, you'd be amazed how often that comes up in email
okay.
now.
Second down and nine.
It's almost like a sign-off.
It is. It's perfect.
What are you waiting for? It's the most common question asked at Dr. Roche's office. Stop putting off improving you. Cut it out. He can give you the look you've always wanted, whether it's new breasts, Brazilian butt lifts, Diva laser, liposuction, facial surgery, Botox. You'll be in good hands with Dr. Roche. He's double board certified, the only one in Michigan. Cosmetic surgeon, that is. Experience matters. He's got over 30 years of it, doing the latest surgical and non-surgical procedures in the Bloomfield Hills suite. Call today and ask about the breast augmentation procedures. Specializing in more natural-looking breasts, Dr. Roche has performed the most in the Midwest. He knows what he's doing. He's just done three, I think,
really?
This month
good.
From the podcast.
It's beautiful.
Call 248-338-1110 and see how easy it is to bring out your very best features. That's 248-338-1110. Or visit droche.com, drroche.com. And, you know, this wasn't in Today in Rock, but I noticed that Guns N' Roses played in Melbourne. And whoever does their announcing for them, I guess the same person for a long time, which is not completely uncommon, said, "Hello, Sydney!"
Oops.
And they were an hour late.
Oh, wow.
And the crowd was already pissed, and the crowd just turned on these guys. Huge, huge booze for GNR.
Was it that Charlie guy? Was he the announcer? Is he announcing for GNR now?
He's been doing it a long time, whoever it is.
The guy who did the presidential parades? The GNR hiker?
Oh, that guy. Oh, Charlie.
Hello, Sydney. I can totally see him doing that.
I don't think he'd quite have had the response he got from the Women's March. Oh, my God.
You mean Charlie's Angels?
Yeah. Well, anyway, say hello. When I say hello, you say hello, Charlie. What is wrong with you? And women are so nice. They do it.
He's a little old.
Today is tomorrow is the 15th of February, 1958 on February the 15th. Jerry Lee Lewis plays Great Balls of Fire in his new song, Breathless, on American Bandstand. You know the song Breathless?
No.
You heard that?
Mm-mm.
It's in American Gigolo. That's the first place I heard it. That's one of Jerry Lee, I would say after Great Balls of Fire and a whole lot of shaking going on, Breathless is probably his coolest tune. Jackie Wilson was shot by Juanita Jones, a girlfriend, on this day in 1961. She'd gone to his apartment to confront him about another woman. Jackie Wilson made it to a hospital but lost a kidney, and he did have that bullet in him. It was too close to his spine to remove, so he had that the rest of his life, which wasn't long, by the way. He was born in Detroit in, let's see, I think 1938 or something? Yeah, 1938. He collapsed on stage in 1975 and was in a coma till 1984 when he died, which is strange. I don't know why, because he was in good shape. I wonder if that first shooting really affected his health, probably. But my favorite Jackie Wilson song is not by Jackie Wilson. It's Jackie Wilson Said by Van Morrison. You know that song?
No.
Can you find that, Jay? Jackie Wilson Said? Nat King Cole died of lung cancer at age 47 on this day in 1965. He was a three-pack-a-day smoker.
Thus launching?
The Dead Dad Tour.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Years later, Natalie would, of course, go on the Dead Dad Tour, which is what it was called. The ticket said Dead Dad Tour. She played with the she played with the video.
Yep.
How stupid. Well, he's got his own sound, I must say. Anybody a Van Morrison fan here? Am I the only one?
I am, too. There's somebody else that did this song, too.
Yeah, I think it's been covered by a few people.
Dexy's Midnight Runners.
I thought Dexy's.
Oh, Dexy's did this? Really? I'd like to hear that.
I know I heard this before.
Wow, was this a big hit? I only knew Come On Eileen. That's all I knew.
I don't know. Why did this band ever do more?
They're pretty popular in Britain, I guess.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
Never did more here.
I don't know.
They just released an album last year.
Oh, no. Don't tell me they're going to be one of those bands playing past the prime.
You're right, Drew. Look, they released 5 total albums, all of them charted in the UK. The one that was released last year charted 10th.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But it doesn't chart in the U.S.?
Just this album. This is
the one with Come On Eileen?
Yeah. This is the follow-up to Come On Eileen.
C-U-M? Of course. After Nat King Cole, let's see, 1968, John Lennon and George Harrison on February the 15th, 1968, and their wives traveled to India to study TM with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. It's funny, that's one of the biggest events in Beatle history, I guess because they wrote the White Album there primarily. Paul and Ringo came later. Ringo was totally bored, didn't like the food, and left very quickly. And
does that
I don't
make
think
you like Ringo a little more?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? Paul left pretty quickly, too. I think he tried to sort of suggest that it was cool because George really meant a lot to him, and John seemed to be into it.
He was way too into it.
But after Paul left, John discovered that the Maharishi was a big phony. He was hitting on, he was putting heavy pressure on Mia Farrow to bang him, and he was also hitting on the other women. And so he thought, this guy's a big fake. I am so out of here. Sexy Sadie was written about the Maharishi.
It's like Bikram.
Like who?
Bikram Yoga.
Oh, that guy.
The guy that was banging.
Oh my God.
Raping all his yoga followers.
What an asshole.
That's a cult.
Unbelievable.
Bikram.
So, yeah, Sexy Sadie was the main track, I think, on the White Album about the phony Maharishi. And so many songs were written there, like, and have a story, too, like Why Don't We Do It in the Road? McCartney was over there, and he saw two monkeys fucking in the road in India, and hence he got the song. And that version with Neil Young at Coachella, Old Cella, was so cool. 2 lines of that song. Why don't we do it in the road? No one will be watching us.
Except for Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that's right. 1969, Vicki Jones was arrested after giving a concert where she claimed to be Aretha Franklin. And I guess she actually sounded like her, and she was kind of a big black woman, and no one asked for a refund. They thought they saw Aretha Franklin. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. 79, the 21st Grammy, Saturday Night Fever won the soundtrack. The soundtrack won the album of the year. Billy Joel's Just the Way You Are was the record of the year. Def Leppard in 1980 had to cancel a show in El Paso, Texas, because they said the town was like a, well, they just called it a place with a lot of greasy Mexicans. And they started getting threats, and they decided maybe we better not play here. So they canceled the show.
What year was that?
1988. 1991, Kelly Emberg launched a $25 million lawsuit against Rod Stewart for palimony. They'd lived together from 85 to 90. I tried to look up what happened to that suit, and I didn't really look that hard. I never did find out. I know she got some money, though. I was just trying to figure out if she had a kid with Rod. Did one of those kids come from that period?
Well, who had...
Seems like Kimberly Stewart.
Yeah, who
would
was Kimberly? She's the most famous one, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, none of them are worth a shit. Really, are
Remember
they?
When she got on that motorcycle and fell down and everyone yes. saw her butthole?
That was hilarious.
That's what she's best known for.
I would agree.
That time she showed everyone her butthole.
No, that was about the only thing I could think of when I thought of her.
Oh, that's... Alana Hamilton is her mom.
Okay.
Kim Stewart.
There's a son.
Who am I looking up again? What's I'm sorry.
Whether Kelly Emberg had a kid with Rod Stewart.
Yeah, Ruby Stewart.
Okay. So that's what the $25 million was for.
Ruby Stewart.
$5
million. She's a model, by the way.
Is that a guy?
I thought Ruby? It was a girl.
It's probably a girl. He has a son who is an absolute and total, unequivocal loser. Total loser. He's been in rehab like 50 times or something. Really? And he never works. I think Rod tries to get him to work on his tour or something. And I think he tried to be a singer at some point, and he's just a disaster.
Wow, Ruby Stewart is hot.
Well, of course. I mean, Lana Hamilton.
Yeah, I know, but she doesn't look like, well, maybe she does look like Rod now a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She's pretty.
Ooh-ah.
That'd be a funny sitcom, big rock star trying to get his load son working on his show.
I know.
Like constantly badgering him to do work. And then, of course, he does the work and totally messes it up.
I know. Load kids are just such a bummer. It's like, and how do you get around it? Eventually, everyone knows your kid's a load.
Well, you can't, can't just let him go not be a load. I don't know.
I mean, you can let him be homeless, I guess. But nobody wants to do that. There's always one parent's like, oh, but he's living in the streets. Something will happen to him. Like, maybe he'll be inspired to do something. Rod's quote on this thing was, instead of getting married again, I'm going to find a woman I don't like and give her a house. Does that make any sense?
Well, yeah, in other words, that's how it always ends up.
Yeah, I guess. That's kind of funny. Another great
but then he doesn't get to boner.
True. Yeah, what's the point, Rod? 1993, Little Richard got his Lifetime Achievement Award during the non-televised portion of the Grammys, which is really shitty. Why did they do that?
I don't know. They did this year. They gave away like 75 awards, including the Best Rock Album, Best Alternative Album.
The Lifetime Achievement Award?
They did that this year, too, didn't they?
Wait, who won? Who got it this year?
I mean, I don't remember it during the show.
I don't either. Why would you do that, though? I mean, that's the one thing, you know, everyone can sort of get around and agree on. It's not like you think somebody else should have won it. Anyway, he called it the crowning achievement of my career, and I got it in secret. So he was pissed. But he bitched for years about why did he get recognized, why didn't he ever win anything. Finally get something, he's off stage. This is really funny. 2013, Chubby Checker filed a $1 billion lawsuit. Now, where he came up with $1 billion, I'll never know, against Hewlett-Packard, who put out a penis-measuring app on phones and tablets based on shoe size.
Yeah.
It was supposed to measure your penis,
mm-hmm.
and they called it the Chubby Checker. Chubby wanted $1 billion for this.
No way.
Get this. It was downloaded 84 times for 99 cents.
Oh.
So it made $83.01. Or no, $83.16.
Was he awarded any damages?
It was settled in July 2014.
Settled.
It said it was settled for a nominal amount.
$50.
That's what it said, something very small. And then a year ago, of course, the Eagles with Jackson Browne sang Take It Easy to honor Glenn Frey at the Grammys. But the best story from the Grammys last year was afterwards, Paul McCartney rounds up Taylor Hawkins and Beck and says, we're going to a party. And they go to this Grammy after party at the Argyle Club. They were denied entrance.
Really?
Yeah, they were denied entrance. Whoa. And they went to another party hosted by Republic Records. And McCartney's quote the next day was, geez, how VIP do we have to get? Huh. I guess I need another hit. But they seem to get, actually Taylor Hawkins said something about how they just laughed and laughed and laughed about it. They thought it was so funny. Yeah. So they didn't seem to mind. Something to talk about. Hmm. And I wanted to mention the Saturday Night Fever, you know, sound, because the soundtrack came up.
Yeah, I can't believe you just watched that movie.
I sure did. I watched the whole thing. And, oh, by the way, Today in Rock brought to you by Dr. Roche, www.droche, whatever your cosmetic needs. Visit the offices of Dr. Greg Roche, 248-338-1110, or www.droche. Yeah, I watched the whole movie, and I remembered, I thought it won, didn't it win awards? Like maybe the movie of the year or something? Or
I wouldn't know.
From the cast? I think it did, or I'm sure it got 70s. Nominations. Let me see. Hold on, let me get my pad here.
I'll look it up.
It was a big movie.
On, I'll look
it was
up.
A huge movie. But anyway, I was trying to...
Yeah, it did $237 million.
Which at that time was
well, now
huge.
It's huge, yeah.
I mean, 1979 or 78. Yeah, it won all those Grammys. It won a ton of Grammys. It made the Beach... The Bee Gees were giant. That's the biggest the Bee Gees ever were, was when that soundtrack
won the
came out.
Golden Globe for Best Musical.
Okay.
It doesn't say if it was nominated for any Oscars.
Well, it was one of the big movies of that year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But anyway, I was watching it and I'm thinking, this is the dumbest movie. First of all, I got Travolta, I'm gonna move to Manhattan and get a job like you. You know, after he tries to rape the girl that he danced with. Remember, he's trying to...
I see, it's been years since I've seen it.
Well, he's dancing with this really smart girl who's in Manhattan. You know, he's from Queens or something. And her world is, of course, this very worldly place. And she lives in a swanky apartment. And there's this... And what shocks Travolta, because he's dancing with her, you know, practicing for this big deal. And she says, you know, can you take the day off to help me move? And he's like... Yeah, no problem. He goes into this paint store where he's working, and then he says, I have the afternoon off. And the guy's like, it's going to be busy today. You can't have the afternoon off. And so he says, well, then I quit.
Whoa.
And then he goes back there, and the guy's like, you know, I'm not going to fire you. Look, Jerry's been here 18 years. Bobby's been here 20 years. He's loads with these, you know, these stupid smocks on at the hardware store. and Travolta's like, I don't know if I want to be Jerry or whatever his name is.
I gotta go dance.
Yeah, I gotta dance and Stephanie, she knows all these smart people in Manhattan, and you know I don't want to hang around with these losers. You know, he drives around these guys and they get in a fight because this one guy, some guy got one of her buddies got beat up, so they drive through this garage where this gang lives. Turns out the guy who's in the hospital says, I really wasn't sure if it was them, but they get in this giant fight and they beat the shit out of these guys who were not even the guys that beat this guy up. And then they stop on the bridge all the time and they dance around on the, you know, on the bridge supports over the water. And the loser who gets this chick pregnant, and the whole movie's asking anybody who will end, what do you think I should do? I got this girl pregnant and, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to be a father. Should I marry or what? And he asks Stephanie, the snot girl that Travolta's with, who is so unredeemable and unlikable, such an absolute bitch. I can't figure out, well, first of all, why does Travolta's character like her? She's an idiot. She won't screw him.
Because she's from the different side of the tracks.
She's from Manhattan and she knows people and stuff.
Well, she's like,
but he asks
she's
her,
like a really good dancer.
He says, I know this guy and he gets this girl pregnant and, you know, should he marry or what? And Stephanie's like,
ew, gross.
Well, who's the guy? I can't say. Well, would you marry the guy? And she says, well, who's the guy? And she says, well, what if it was me? And she goes, I'd get an abortion. Nice chick.
She's
so nice.
Well,
yeah, she said that.
It's hard to dance when you're like, Emma's pregnant.
Oh, God, the whole movie is so stupid. It's so mindless. And that Stephanie chick, couldn't they have found a chick that actually seemed plausible for Travolta
Who played her?
Karen Lynn Gorney.
Who is that?
Basically nobody. That was the biggest thing she ever did.
Is there anybody famous in this movie besides Travolta?
Not really. Wait a second. You know what? these loads in his gang, those tools.
Ended up being people.
One of them ended up getting some good gigs. The guy that killed, the guy that had the girl pregnant, he was fucking around on the bridge support and fell and died in the water. I left that part out.
What?
Yeah.
God, I don't remember this movie at all.
And Carolyn Gorney, I looked her up. She's huge now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's like doubled her size.
Yeah.
I think she ate someone.
Ew.
She's huge. But, I mean, the movie's 40 years old practically. So it's just so funny because I hear people say, oh, I love that movie. And I had fun watching it. It was like, I remember it all. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then the girl that hangs out with Travolta and his buddies, who he won't fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, as she comes running up to him when he comes out of dancing one night with the other girl, and she goes, look. She's got condoms because he won't have sex with her because he's like, I don't want to get you pregnant. So she comes running, look, I got condoms. It's like, oh, get out of here. I'm with this smart girl right now. Leave me alone. So she tries to make Travolta jealous by taking turns fucking all of his friends in the back seat.
All right. Yeah.
I was like, I hope you're proud of yourself. Oh, God. What is redeeming about that movie? Except that when he wins a dance competition, he gives a trophy to the Latino couple who are much better. That's like the only redeemable thing in the entire fucking movie. He tries to rape the chick at the end, and then
that's not realistic.
He goes to her apartment in Manhattan and says, I'm not going back to Queens. I don't want to go back there. I'm going to stay over here. And the first thing she says is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, I don't know. Dance. I mean, you're smart. You met people. You learned stuff. I learned from
what
you.
What a load.
Will you be my friend?
Another load. Get back to the hardware store.
I would never want to. Yeah, go back to the hardware store. Exactly. I would never want to be that chick's friend. First of all, oh, there's the intro. That's when they're playing "Stayin' Alive." When he's walking around the street
with the paint cans. Isn't this movie just big because of the music and the moment?
Absolutely. It was the fucking dancing. That was all it was. So why don't they cut out the other stupid shit and just stay at the disco all night? Then there's his brother who's going to be a minister, and the whole of the parents, it's like everything they live for is that, well, our son is going to be a priest. And then he quits and goes to the disco with John.
Well, the pull of the disco is very strong.
You really ought to do something with your dancing.
So, like, did his brother talk the same way?
No, he's a little more evolved. And Travolta's dance looks so stupid now. Looks like he's dancing for his some dudes he's trying to get it on with.
Wow.
Which he probably was.
That's how he prepared for the role. So, how did the movie end up? Are they, is it a story?
He wins a dance competition, gives a trophy to someone else. He comes out of the competition with Carolyn Gorney, whatever her stupid cunt character is. They get in the car. He tries to bang her in the car. She's like,
rape
no,
her.
Get away from me. Yeah, tries to rape her. And
so
then
she never saw him again, right?
She runs away. No, he goes to see her in the morning. He stays up. I stayed up all night thinking I couldn't fall asleep. I'm never going back to Queens.
Well, yeah, I couldn't sleep because I thought I might get arrested for sexual assault.
And so he basically says, will you be my friend?
What?
And she agrees to be his friend.
She said, no, get out of here.
No, she says,
you're arrested.
Well, I will if you behave yourself.
Oh, my God.
So I'll help you all I can.
So in part two, did he try raping her again?
I don't know if there was a second movie, wasn't there?
Staying Alive, right? Isn't that the sequel?
Yeah, but I think, isn't it just about dancing? I don't even think that Carolyn Gorney's even in that. He made a couple real stupid movies after this.
Well, it wasn't because of Tarantino, right?
Oh, yeah. He was done. He was cooked. Yeah. Although he made the baby talking movie. Wasn't that sort of his comeback?
Oh.
Who's Talking?
Look Who's Talking with Kirstie Alley.
Can you believe that movie was actually considered his comeback? Doesn't that seem
that
stupid?
That was his comeback. It wasn't Pulp Fiction.
Well, Pulp Fiction was his critical comeback, yeah. Of course. What has he done since then?
Battlefield Earth.
Face.
That's the one we always laugh at.
Face Off was cool. That was kind of a cool movie.
What has he done? Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, he did.
Michael.
He did the. He did the OJ movie.
Yeah,
he's all right.
He's done a few things.
But as far as the big screen, I'm looking at it right now. He did Hairspray, which I guess did well.
Was the Swordfish? Yeah, that was all right. was the
Sword,
when
was Swordfish?
That was Halle Berry. Halle Berry's topless. That was
2001.
Huh?
We did Wild Hogs, 2007. Didn't that movie do really well? The old guys
Get Shorty
on the motorcycle.
He's had a few.
Get Shorty
okay.
was old though too.
Yeah, I know. But it's after Pulp Fiction.
Honestly, looking at his movies, I don't think there's one I'd ever want to see again besides Pulp Fiction. Right?
Other than to get laughs.
God, I don't. Ugh.
I mean, Saturday Night Fever is amusing to watch, but for all the wrong reasons.
It. So is Battlefield Earth.
I want to see the sequel now. And there's another movie, too. Isn't it Perfect with Jamie Lee Curtis where is he in aerobics class or something? Or she's an aerobics teacher?
Oh, maybe? That's that famous video everybody puts online where junk is flying all over the place. Have you seen that? Have you seen
probably
that?
Probably not really his junk.
I think it's a meme. Yeah.
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, we just search Travolta and Jamie Lee Curtis. He's got to be wearing a prosthetic in it.
No doubt.
Or there's a dude working out in front of him.
The one, okay, that reminds me of the story that I was determined, it keeps ending up in my stack even though we never get to it, and this guy, what's the worst thing that could possibly,
are you watching it?
Oh no, wait, where is it?
John Travolta. I would gladly take one of your aerobic classes if you let me interview you.
I was really beginning to like you too.
He's a reporter. Sure.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
How many times a year do you fall in love, Adam?
Depends on the subject.
Depends on the subject.
Perfect. He's a reporter for Rolling Stone.
He is not.
Different stories. I don't think you understand. I might want you to be the focus of my story. She's one of them.
I don't think you understand. I don't want to be the focus of anything.
I think you understand. I'm an aerobics teacher.
She doesn't want to cooperate, but she will. I just need a viewpoint from someone who works here. Someone like you.
Are you deaf? No.
I got a plane to catch. Another story to write.
The government could put pressure on you, too. They could send you to jail.
Well, that's a risk I'll have to take, isn't it?
I read that shit you wrote about me.
Who was that?
Porter would never get in bed with the subject.
You're forgetting something. I'm not your subject.
Do you think that people that are in better shape have better sex?
Oh. Yeah. That's what I want to be, you know, the most perfect me possible.
Because if you perfect yourself, you'll be loved. Is that what you're saying?
I read your little story. You lied to me.
Going through the bones.
What is so wrong with wanting to be perfect?
God, do they ever stop humping when they're working out?
No.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
I like being the best.
In a James Bridges film. Perfect.
Get it on. Get it on.
What do you think Perfect has on Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm going to say, you mean audience score?
Critics
score.
Take your pick. They're pretty close.
Okay, critics, I'm going to say, is like 18, audience 26.
What? 19 and 26.
Yes. Wow.
Fuck, did you know
that? It was
that?
A guess. I swear to God, that was a guess. I knew it was going to be really bad. That movie's terrible.
I know, but to be up by one,
that's pretty amazing. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Jeez. There's a great, long clip of them dancing, though. They're doing the aerobics where you can see his dong. Flopping all over the place.
I have to say, he's a fascinating character.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, his real life and his movie life are utterly fascinating. And most of his movies I find to be very watchable, even though they're terrible movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here, since you brought up his dong.
I haven't yet to bring up his pubes, but go ahead. Which are wiry and unkempt.
What do you think is the worst thing that could happen to you when you go in for surgery? Short of dying or, you know, sort of a surprise when you wake up.
Smaller penis.
You hit it. Artist 57 left with half a penis after botched surgery to cure tissue disease, chopped off 3 inches.
What?
Yeah, they took off 3 inches of his dong.
Where was the tissue disease? His shoulder?
No.
Why were they down by his dick?
He had Peyronie's.
Oh, really?
I think it was Peyronie's. Wait.
Really?
Let's see. He had a lump in his penis.
Ew.
Like Bobbitt did. He was meant to have corrective surgery after tissue disease left his penis with a lump that made it curve when erect. He woke up in the hospital. The lump had gone, but the Croatian artist said he was horrified to see his anatomy had shrunk by 3 inches. I went in for the procedure because I needed help. I came back with half a penis.
Oh, he probably didn't. That's just what he tells the ladies. You're not going to believe this. I mean, I know it's only 4 inches, but it's because I had half of it lopped off in a surgery once.
Well, then he gets sympathy and he get laid.
I know.
And they'd say, and it was just as good. It was great. Yeah, I didn't notice the size at all.
Yeah, they're not going to say anything because he's totally lying. Let me write this down. We use this.
That's a good one. I like it too.
No. I had a bad surgery. They cut half my dick off.
Yeah, I was 9 and I'm only 6. Terrible.
What a great excuse.
I was 11. I'm only 8 now.
Carry that story around. Just change the name. No, see, this is me. Here's a picture of me. Totally happened. I don't know why I was in Croatia, but it happened.
What a bummer.
I'm on that video you're talking about, Mark.
Oh,
like,
you see it?
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes of just humping.
Yeah, show's Drew.
So you wonder if everybody else in the class would just be like, are we going to change moves? You know, it's the same.
Knock it off. Would you people just go screw and get it over with?
Travolta's ass, remember, he needed a massage because his butt would get numb from flying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure it was so numb.
So he said, I mean, from flying.
I just know that when they did interviews for this movie, that they talked about how hard they worked out and what great shape. I lost like 15 pounds. Jamie Lee lost 20. What a disappointment her career ended up being, by the way. I mean, seriously, since that Tom Arnold, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
True Lies, yeah.
What has she done?
God, I can't think of anything.
Yogurt commercials.
Oh, yeah, I know. Ew. She's on the toilet all the time now.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Are you sore tomorrow?
I don't think so.
Oh, you're going to be sore.
Do you want to interview me?
Oh, I don't know. I broke the cardinal rule of journalists.
Shut up!
Well, after what we did last night, I just don't think I can be objective.
Oh, God. You idiot. And why is he interviewing an aerobics teacher?
I don't. For Rolling Stone magazine, right?
How absolutely ridiculous.
Jesus.
And the music is just so horrible after that soundtrack was, you know, album of the year and all that. We'll still play those songs. Hey, since it is Valentine's Day, I thought I would at least mention that all of the relationships, virtually all relationships, are starting in two places.
Online.
And at work. 41% of people have dated a colleague at work. A colleague. Mark's my colleague. Jay's my colleague on the podcast. Joey is my colleague. Joey Marasso. And Brandon is also a colleague of mine.
Really? He's more my mentor.
I hate that word.
I know.
Tom Masway, my colleague on the podcast.
Brandon. Okay.
So bitter.
Boy, is that eating him alive. Bitter. That is just killing him.
Brandon's, I see Brandon gets 2 days a week, huh?
That's Brandon said. Oh, which, by the way, Brandon sent me a picture of some balls in the shape of a heart. It's a happy bag. I could not stop laughing at it.
See why we need a 32-year-old?
So I promptly sent it to everybody I know. Look, Drew.
Oh, that's nice. That's lovely. You're going to find out that they're his.
I don't care if
you've looked at him 50 times.
Yeah. Let's see. He sent me an emoji of a sad face and wrote, equals me when Maz questions my contributions. And then he wrote, just kidding. Sorry, I couldn't be in today. Valentine's Day is important in our household.
But then he wrote,
not really, okay. But we already made plans weeks ago with other people. But he said,
weeks ago?
Listen, I did get a PS4 for Valentine's Day, though, once. But he says he's pumped up to come in. He's gonna be in tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because, you know, he went to Boyne last week, and he says he has more stories. This is a tease for Brandon tomorrow. More adventures in Boyne, including a near beating from an old guy because of a drunken piss.
Oh, I want to definitely. This will be outstanding.
And we can revisit my condom roommate.
His condom room.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed that we didn't find more reviews for that horrible place he stayed last time. Although I did find four of them.
Yeah. Well,
he's not staying there again, is he?
No, the condom place. We can find more.
Oh, that's right. He's out of state for this. Yeah, that was funny. Wait, he had his plans for Valentine's made weeks ago?
I didn't even think about that yet. Well.
You know, I am so unusual in that if you look at my calendar, there's nothing on it. Absolutely nothing.
Really?
Anything I do just comes up and I go, oh, you want to go to a movie or you want to do something?
Well, I don't know.
I'm not saying that's right.
Well, it's nice, right?
Well, it's the way I roll, but...
See, I'm really bad at planning anything more than maybe an hour out, as you know, because
pretty much
late
me
for
too.
Everything. But Julie's a meticulous planner. Like, everything's planned out to a T. So there's actually a calendar, and I think it's more for me, so I know when things are coming up.
When I see calendars, I always find myself going, God, you really need a calendar? Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad she
does.
I know
people do, but I just don't. It doesn't surprises me.
It's like my parents have their 50th wedding anniversary coming up.
Yeah, what are you guys doing?
Well, it's the task has fallen on my brothers and I to figure it out, which that's not going to happen. I can tell you right now, we're all terrible at planning stuff.
Don't they have a friend that could maybe be asked to head it up?
Well, I think the responsibility is supposed to fall on the children, but I think it's going to be a low-key affair. But, you know, my one brother's like, oh, okay, I got to get up there. You know, I got to travel all the way up here from Virginia.
Isn't that enough?
It's mom and dad's 50th
anniversary.
Just that
all the kids show up. I mean, isn't showing up enough?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, it'll be a lovely affair.
Lots of dinner.
I'm looking forward to it. I think that's what we're going to do.
Why would, I mean, would they
and
want?
And some other stuff, huh?
Would they want a party?
No, well, that was originally going to be the plan. And then my mom's like, I don't want a party. So God bless you, Mom. Thank you.
That's okay. Mom. Like if they're the type that just don't want to make a big deal. There's some
No, yeah, they're not that kind.
Yeah.
You know.
We're talking about planning. Julie probably like plans your vacations. She has an
itinerary. Yeah.
I know people are we're on vacation.
Has an itinerary.
Yeah, for everything.
But I'm kind of glad in a way.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to miss anything.
I couldn't help tearing out this story in the front of USA Today today about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are warning the world about, they're warning the U.S. and Britain about the dangers of nationalism. And they mentioned the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation numerous times. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they only quote Bill because whoever did the story knew that they really didn't care what Melinda had to say.
Oh, I'm sure there's quotes from her.
Oh, yeah. They just weren't used.
Do you think the reporter did this? Like, Melinda's talking, you just went, uh-huh. Like air wrote
yeah,
the air.
Okay, hold on, I got that. What was the last two words? Uh-huh, sure.
Here,
okay,
let me
thanks,
press
Melinda.
Play. Okay, Bill, you were saying?
But would it be unfair for USA Today to just call it the Bill Gates Foundation? Because Melinda contributed like $5 and he contributed like $3 billion. $3 billion, she has $5. I think it's bullshit, even if he calls it that so he can get, you know, have a better relationship, even though it's phony as hell. I don't know. I mean, we're playing make believe. They contributed equally to the foundation, and they did.
Every time there's an interview, it's always those two together.
Oh yeah, no, she's a big spotlight hogger.
Yeah,
I mean, I would be embarrassed if I was with somebody who was a multi-billionaire and they set up this giant charity and then put my name on. I'd be like,
we don't need to do that.
Do anything?
Yeah.
I don't do that. It's ridiculous. I mean,
Melinda.
But then I'm sure she'd say, "But I work. I go everywhere with you."
Hey, they were colleagues. They met at the workplace, right?
Yeah, I think they did.
Yeah, sure. They were colleagues.
That's true.
So they've always been on equal footing.
How are these online relationships? It seems like they're working out okay.
Oh,
people are meeting online.
Yeah, I have friends that are married with kids that met online.
And it's just like anything else. I mean, some of them probably fail just like meeting anywhere else, and some of them go the distance.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
And work. What better place than work? You meet somebody, you know them, you know from work, you know other people who know them, what they think of them.
The wedding I went to in Seattle, remember when I went to the wedding
yeah.
in Seattle last year? Mm-hmm. They met on Tinder. And they love joking about it that they met on Tinder. I mean, that's a little more unusual.
Wait, what's the difference between Tinder and any other place?
Tinder's more of a hookup app. Like if you're at a bar or something and you match with somebody.
Did he feel a little taken aback that maybe she's a little slutty for being on Tinder?
Oh, I don't know. You could probably ask him. You know, I don't think he's pretty open about things. She's a very nice lady.
So, you know, that's like that
tender
It's like that story about millennials having sex before they have a date.
Time management.
I guess a lot of Tinder type stuff. But that blows my mind. There are that many women who would even be on. You'd think that site would be all guys.
Well,
and
that's
like three
that's Grindr. I don't know. Chicks are pretty open nowadays.
But back in the day, they weren't.
No, I know. God, no.
There's no way you'd have sex with somebody before you went out with them.
No.
Is there a female version of Grindr?
Ooh, that's a great question, Jay.
I don't know. I was just thinking.
Wait, what'd you say, Jay?
If there's a female version of Grindr, Grindr's guys on guys.
Gotta be, right?
So I wonder what the female equipment is. Not, maybe we should capitalize on it.
There's got to be one. A lesbian dating site. There's another one. Have you guys heard, was it Bumble? Have you heard of Bumble?
Bumble, no.
It's kind of the same thing, but the women get to choose.
Oh, okay.
To get rid of all the creeps. I think that's their big hook.
Did you see the Sarah Silverman story about her tweeting?
Swastikas?
Swastikas, yeah.
Yeah, pretty funny.
Unbelievable. She thought there's some neo-Nazi operation moving in. It's construction. They're making X's for...
They're marking the lines, right?
They're marking the lines. And the S's, the X's, I should say, are just a little swervy.
It's an S with a line through it, basically.
Yeah, it really doesn't look like a Nazi symbol because the line is a straight line.
Yeah, and the other ones are curvy. Greg would not be happy.
Walking to get coffee, saw these all over a sidewalk in the town I'm in. Is this an attempt at swastikas? Do neo-Nazis not have Google?
Wait, what is that? I don't get the last line. Even if they were swastikas.
Oh, to talk to each other, I guess. I don't know. I just cannot believe how paranoid people are about everything. Jesus. Ugh, I shudder even to bring it up because it's so stupid. Did you see this fashion show where there was a big hullabaloo? They said havoc was created because Tiffany Trump showed up.
Yeah, I saw
and no one would sit near her. So she's in a row all by herself with, I guess it was her boyfriend or somebody she came with. Yeah. And there's no one on her left side, and there's just empty space. And then everyone's all crowded up in the other rows because they actually moved their seats to get away from Tiffany Trump.
How catty.
I'm just embarrassed to be in the human race when I hear something like that.
That's a different world. You're talking about the fashion world.
The fashion world. Could one of them explain one policy any president has ever put forward?
How about one policy that Tiffany Trump has put forward?
She's the least connected to Donald Trump in the entire family.
Easily.
And anyway, this whole idea of that we're so inclusive that we accept anyone unless you don't think like me, then I can't even sit near you. Or if you know someone, if your father doesn't think like me, God forbid. I mean, it's like she has cooties.
Poor Tiffany. There is another story out of there, too, that...
Oh, that chick that took a picture with Tiffany and got and put it online and got all that shit over it, the actress? Remember that
one?
Oh,
yeah. No, I wasn't talking about that one. I was talking about Melania and Emily Ratajkowski putting on an Instagram that some guy said, I hear she's a hooker. And she put it online because called it slut shaming.
Yeah. Whatever. Are you watching The Bachelor at all?
Not really.
Oh, man.
Only when I'm here.
Nick was on Ellen today.
Oh.
Nick Vile. He is the most...
Finally a break for the cushion changer.
He is...
give him the day off.
He is the most boring guy. He is so boring. Honest to God, on that show... Well, this is really not that abnormal. I would say most of the guys in there are pretty fucking boring. I mean, what guy who's really interesting and fun and...
Bachelor Bob.
Bachelor Bob. Bachelor Bob is the coolest bachelor ever.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he was. No, he was good.
Firestone's a bore... Andrew Michael of the bar.
Alex Michael.
Alex Michael. I'm sorry. I'm so boring. I don't even remember my own name.
I think you're amazing. I think you're amazing. Sounds like a little like John Gosselin.
Okay. I can't even remember my own
you're
name.
Amazing. I can't get John Gosselin out of my voice.
Don't forget Dr. Travis Dork.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Who now has his TV show. Who's the stupid pilot?
Oh, the pilot.
God, remember the fights he got in with that chick?
Oh, that was great. He picked the chick everyone hated. Remember?
I know, but the fight between them is...
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, my office is at 37,000 feet.
I thought you just did. Or didn't he have some catty comeback like, oh, I thought you didn't see.
Yeah, that was the show where...
The returning show.
Dumped her. Or yeah, they're officially dumped.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was the show where... Oh, Jesus. That was
like after the Rose show, right? When this whole show was over.
They were just secondary on the show. The main point of that show was that the guy in Seattle was dumping the girl that he picked, the girl that ended up on Dancing with the Stars and won, to pick Molly, the girl from Grand Rapids, who he had blown off at the end. He was changing his selection. He actually married that girl, too. They have kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His name was Jason.
He wasn't the pilot, was he?
No.
Oh.
But the pilot was on that show. They checked in on the pilot and his relationship. What's that fucking guy's name? Oh, my God.
I'll look it up. Oh, Jake Pavelka.
Jake Pavelka, that's right.
What a dick.
And that girl had been, I mean, people in her hometown.
Vienna.
Yeah, everyone she knew, she was getting blasted in all the tabloids because people were saying, there was one guy who said she went out with him for a few months. She borrowed money to get breast implants and then dumped him, like as soon as she got the surgery. And she had cheated on a couple guys big time. I mean, she was horrible. Everyone in the house hated her. And everyone told him to, and he picked her anyway. And he claimed she was talking to other dudes within like a week of them moving in together. But that show was hilarious.
Jay, will you pop me up?
To this point, how do we get here tonight, Vienna?
Oh, this is great. This is classic.
I guess it started about a month after we were dating, right?
He's so disinterested.
Things started changing.
Things started changing? What things?
Our relationship. Yeah, the first month we were together was great. Like, he was crazy about me. And then from there, it just kind of went straight downhill.
Oh.
And it wasn't like we were in a relationship. Like, I felt like we were a relationship when cameras were rolling or we were on red carpets or we were out in public. But, like, at home, it wasn't like we were in a relationship.
What was it like at home?
Lonely. I would tell him that all the time. I just wanted him to want to be around me and talk to me and kiss me and like a normal relationship.
Right, jumping forward. Let's see.
I would have just stayed because he would have convinced me.
It's no good until he's on. When he's on,
that's what I was looking for.
Things would have changed. Sorry. We broke it up three times.
I'm so mad at you. I'm so disgusted with you.
Disgusted with me?
You sold me out to a magazine for payment, and I flirted with me all weekend.
Flirted with you all weekend?
And then
I
find out from
weekend.
My publicist. That's all right. I've got text messages.
Ooh.
You flirted with me all weekend?
Oh, yes, baby. I've got text messages.
Right.
Hey, baby, come to the charity. You
yeah,
had already
because
done this.
You were lying to me and trying to bluff out because you thought I was lying about where I was. So I said, yeah, come to the event.
We'll
show up at
the
hospital.
We'll get to your lying issues in a minute.
Oh, my lying issues, Ray. You are a fame whore is what you are. And that was the entire reason that this entire thing happened, doesn't it?
Was it that
impression was that you were a pilot, and we were going to go back to Florida and Dallas and live a normal life, but all of a sudden, we're in L.A. and you're pursuing a career in acting.
At least I was pursuing a career in something.
Sorry, wait, I do have a job now, a marketing job.
I'm a pilot.
You haven't flown in over
this is
a year.
This is
As a matter of fact, I flew this last weekend.
He's never once tried to get to know my family. When we went back to Florida, he maybe said two words to them. He was on his phone the entire time he was there. My dog was sick, and she was in the hospital with IVs in her. And what's the first thing you said? Do you remember? No. Or should I quote you? I'm so sorry. Your dog's so spoiled. She can only maintain one relationship at a time, is what he said to me. While my dog's in the hospital with IVs. Is that what you said?
Nope.
You're a liar. That's what you are.
What about her parents? Is that true? Absolutely not true.
Right. How many times have you called my dad?
Huh? Well, you're dead. I'm glad I called him and wished him a happy Father's Day.
You called him on Father's Day to find out why I haven't talked to you over the weekend. Because both the times we talked, you were yelling at me.
Well, you're busy having flings with other men.
I'm not having flings with other men. You're trying to say what?
Evidently.
You broke... Okay, you have two stories. The first story was that you broke up with me on Saturday because I was cheating on you with Greg. First of all, didn't even meet Greg till 9 o'clock at night at the charity event at a hospital. The only thing you have is me dancing 9 seconds in a group of people, and I'm not even with him.
Why are you raising your voice?
Because you're the biggest fake liar I've ever met in my entire life.
Oh! So, wait, Vienna, there was no infidelity.
No.
No cheating.
Not at all. There's nothing. I don't even hardly know that guy. I went to a charity event, met him with a group of people, and the next day he invited everybody out. I went with my girlfriend. He was there with three other girls. That was it. That's the entire story.
And who's the guy that you had on Saturday night at the apartment? You had a single guy there. I know you did.
I had a gay guy named Todd who owns... who dropped by my apartment so I could pick up a dress to go to the charity event. And he talked to you. He said, why is he jealous? I'm gay. I'm gay. That's what he said. You talked to him on the phone. You're going by a video of me not even touching a guy and then a picture taken at an event. And that's what you're saying, I cheated?
I don't know what you did.
Right.
I know, you're agreeing with me. I don't know what you did.
I'm not agreeing with anything you say. You are a liar.
Okay, well, I mean,
can we get a polygraph test? We have one of those. Polygraph? You would fail it.
Okay, well. And I'm a fame whore. I didn't sell this story. You did.
No, you went to magazine.
Yeah.
You gave them your story.
I had to.
You were going to do it either way, Jake. I'm not an idiot. You moved me out to L.A. I have no money. I have no car. I have nothing out here.
I said, whatever's going to make you happy. We can leave L.A.
How many times have I asked to go back home to Florida?
I have offered several times.
No, you have not.
I'm not doing a he said, she said thing.
No, I'm not, because he's sitting here lying. All right,
guys, and I'm not going to do an interview. I hate to break this up. Lying. I want to continue this conversation.
Oh, it gets better. She starts crying.
As a matter of fact, I flew this last week. What an ass.
My office is at 37,000 feet.
I am so disgusted. Here,
Harrison Ford, by the way, almost got in a mid-air crash.
Hilarious, by the way.
I know. They told him which runway to land on.
Mid-air collisions can be hilarious.
I know. Well, it didn't happen. He was told to land on a specific runway, and somehow he ended up on a taxiway, and he flew right over a 737 with 110 passengers on it and right into the tower. Is this jet supposed to be underneath me?
So it's the jet's fault.
Yeah.
He should probably not fly anymore. Cause
well, he was in an accident last year.
Yeah, and of course, anytime somebody does a story on TV, they show the accident from Indiana Jones when he crashes the small plane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's funny.
As if that can just be, you know, used for the actual crash.
We had that great story from years ago that sounded very real, where he would fly to strange cities in the middle of the country, like Omaha, Nebraska, and just hang out for a couple days. And he said he was Tom the Meat Processor.
Yeah.
They have a lot of meat processing plants there.
Great cover story.
And try and pick up chicks.
It's a good cover.
As a matter of fact, I flew this last week.
I was at 37,000 feet.
What is this turd doing now? What is she doing now?
He was on Bachelor in Paradise.
He was?
I know that. These people have there's no end to the amount of time they have.
Well, the last thing he did was in 2012, this is according to Wikipedia, he was the celebrity guest host at Chippendale's show in Las Vegas.
In 2012?
Yeah.
So he hasn't worked in 5 years. His net worth, he's in celebrity net worth.
Yeah.
700,000. You want to see if Alex Michael's in there? Remember what a big stud he supposedly was, the first Bachelor?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're amazing. I think it's, is it M-I-C-H-E-L?
Yeah.
Alex M-I-C-H-E-L, Jay? Does he make celebrity net worth? I bet he doesn't even make it.
Oh, man.
Oh, how about who's another Bachelor we know? How about Travis Stork?
Dr. Travis Stork.
Excuse me.
The Doctors. He's got to be loaded, right? He's been on that show for
He'd have some money. Oh, $8 million. I mean, it's a 10 o'clock show. I think people watch it, though. They have provocative topics.
Oh, my God. Somebody had Jake Pavelka on a podcast recently. Find out what he's been up to.
Who had him on?
Somebody has a Bachelor podcast.
Oh, God.
I guess he was, I don't know. But he's cut down on his social media. Since his reality TV days are mostly behind him, Jake hasn't been active on Instagram and Twitter.
Of course, Ellen hounded Nick Vile.
Yeah.
About, I read something funny about him.
Jake's still a pilot.
Oh, is he? Good for him.
Okay, I'm done with this.
Does he have a job?
I don't know. I'd rather have that divorce lady fly me around than Pavelka. Elias getting a divorce.
Oh, yeah.
And told everybody on the plane.
Yeah, she's in her work clothes. Had wanted the plane to vote whether she changed into her cute little uniform, as she put it. Then she points out this interracial couple and says, oh, isn't this a great example of inclusiveness? And then she's like, she's talking, you can't hear anybody else but her, and she's like, Oh, I'm sorry. Did I upset you? Oh, I'm. Oh, I was just trying to point out how inclusive that is.
Weird.
Then she starts talking about a divorce.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? I think that's what made people walk off the plane.
Well, and then she invited people to walk off. So like 20 people did. Flight lets his nut job.
I'm amazed anyone stayed on the plane.
You want some crazy person flying the plane?
Fuck no.
Look at German Wings, that crash. Mm-hmm. That guy was nuts.
A few of those. Anyway, Nick, of course, Ellen attacks Nick. Oh, what I was going to say about Nick. You remember when he, well, you weren't watching it, but when he had his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how these people refer to these things like everyone knows what they mean.
Yeah.
Like one-on-one time. And
fantasy suite.
Yes. And when he's in his hometown, he just happens to run into an ex-girlfriend who does nothing but rave about Nick and how wonderful he is. Like, well, why aren't you still together? So wonderful.
Wow, what are the odds that he would run into an ex-girlfriend?
I know. Anyway, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I went on this reality page mm-hmm. where they talk about, you know, what's really happening, so you can sort of speed ahead, you can fast forward ahead. And I think it was the same girlfriend said, they asked her, well, what is he doing? Because she seemed like she was in touch with him. And she said, well, I don't know. You know, a lot of people, because it's a small town outside Milwaukee, a lot of people talk about Nick because he's on TV all the time. And he seems to be home a lot. So we can't really figure out what he's doing. He says he's modeling and he's called a businessman, but nobody really knows what he does or if he has a job because he seems to be home a lot. So why would he be home a lot if he had a job in Los Angeles or whatever? So it sounds to me like he does not have a job.
Well, is this
other than being The Bachelor?
All the shows being filmed?
No, just generally. Just, you know, he's been on, okay. He's been on three Bachelors now.
Oh, my God.
He's been a Bachelor on one, an original where he turned up as one of the Bachelors. Then he joined The Bachelor show, like The Bachelorette, I should say. Like, you know, after like 10 guys have been eliminated, he just jumped in and banged The Bachelorette. and suddenly was on the show. And of course, she had to go, oh, I made a mistake. I slept with Nick and I want to be on the show. And he was one of the final two and he lost. He lost both in the finals.
Hmm.
So his heart was broken twice. Oh. These girls are so sympathetic now. He's a Bachelor. He doesn't think he can find love. So anyway, he's, even though everyone has told him, Nick, this Corinne chick is a nut. She has a nanny for her. She says she runs a multi-million-dollar company.
Yeah, but she's hot.
No, Nick says that they've had great conversations.
What?
And that she's very focused about falling in love.
Is that a thing?
Last night, they must have played this 50 times, how she says, I have a heart of gold and my vagine is platinum.
Wait, that's a... That's not her line. That line's been said before.
Well, she said it many times. They played it the last 2 weeks.
They should prove it. Let's see that vagine.
So after, she's pretty hot. She really is.
No, I know.
She's very cute. Anyway.
That vagine could be all mashed up.
Well, it could be. I mean, it's certainly been used, at least judging from her behavior, because she's all over this guy. She brings whipped cream and sprays it all over her breasts and wants him to lick it off, and then... And then, of course, when he said, "I look, you know, you're going to get me in trouble," she was so bummed out she had to go back to the hotel or back to her room and fall asleep and miss the rose ceremony. Who was that?
Must have been Mags.
Mags?
That was a nice fart, Mags.
It was pretty good.
Well done, Mags.
Mags, is that you? Come here, Mags.
Oh, it must be because Layla's getting up and bolting.
Hey, Mags. Hey, Layla. Come here, baby.
I don't want to be near that fart.
They sleep together every night.
Hot.
In one bed, and Layla is so being pushed out of the bed.
She likes it. She likes the warmth.
She opts to sleep with Mags instead of in her own bed. Anyway, yeah, so Nick's trying to rationalize that he's keeping this chick on there. I just think he wants to nail her as one of the final three and then pick someone else.
Well, we know that, isn't there a black girl left?
Yeah, she's going to be the Bachelorette. So, yeah. I think he had more or less admitted that, so she's off the show. I'm surprised they would acknowledge that.
She was on Kimmel last night.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, could you get the audio of Kimmel's Maury appearance?
It's really long.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's long. I mean,
Matt Damon
there.
Claiming to be the parent
just search
of YouTube, Jimmy's child.
YouTube Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon.
So Rachel, Rachel's surprised that she didn't do better on The Bachelor because she got the first impression rose.
Is that usually a precursor to?
No, it means nothing.
What are the stats on
good question.
First impression roses?
Oh, so anyway, Corinne went down to, after he had a one-on-one date with someone else, or was it with her? No, I guess it was with, I can't remember. Anyway, she, in the middle of the night, just walked down to his hotel room. Mm-hmm. They're in a little house, he's in a hotel, she walked out of the hotel, went in the front lobby, figured out what room he was in, knocked on the door, he answered the door. Oh my God, Corinne. Of course, there's cameras there.
She figured out what room he was in?
Yeah, isn't that
crazy?
What
production assistant said, 312.
Yeah, and who got the cameras there?
Yeah.
And then she immediately drags him into the bedroom
after
they suck face for a while.
Really?
And shuts the door.
So he did nail her.
And no, you hear Nick saying, I should be careful because I don't want to get everybody upset. So
you're on a show where you're
can't
dating.
Can't let this go too far.
You're dating 25 women. I think, wouldn't they assume that, whatever.
He would have had to tell the other chicks that he nailed her.
So?
So she left all bummed out. She wanted to have sex in the worst way.
Just go to the room next door, or grab one of the cameramen.
And it's funny that girl Vanessa, who is hot,
beautiful.
She goes on a date with him and tells him that she's falling in love with him. She spent like maybe 3 hours with him alone in the entire time the show's existed.
Fake,
or maybe 5 or 6 hours alone, but she's falling in love with him. So anyway, because, of course, he can't tell anyone he loves them until he gets to till the end, or else he would be like Ben, who told two women he was in love with them. So he's like, well, I really like you. And she immediately, she starts pouting.
Well, what does she expect him to say?
I don't know. She just felt stupid, I think.
She's on The Bachelor.
I know.
Of course.
I know.
I'm going to feel stupid.
I know. I don't. That whole thing is just ridiculous. Did you hear about the, let's see, is it worth watching a couple minutes of it?
Sure. Yeah. You can just jump fast forward to the Maury part.
Hey, whose phone number were we going to call last night? You said you had a number for somebody last night. You were pretty sure you had somebody's number.
The old man that beat up the alligator with the putter? That guy?
Is that who it was? Yeah.
Yeah. I have that number.
Why don't we call the old man?
Okay.
Holds that geezer?
75.
Cool.
Golfing down in Florida, a gator grabbed his ankle. He turned and beat it up with a putter.
Excellent.
At 75. His number
balls.
Yeah.
You want to lay a little Kimmel on us? And
outrageous Maury is about to begin. Everyone, welcome Molly, Matt.
Marty Short.
Hilarious. He's actually the best part.
Now, Jimmy believes that he's the father of Molly's baby. But Matt.
Actually, the reaction shots of the real Maury crowd are the best part.
I know. I love that.
So does the host. Let's take a look. Maury, there's no way that Jimmy is the father of Molly's baby. He doesn't even have a If Matt is the father of Molly's baby, I will sue him. I will sue Molly. I will sue Maury. I'll sue the baby. I will sue. Such stupid words. Matt, why do you think you're the father? And please, use the loudest voice possible.
Okay, it's obvious, all right? I just want to show you this. Look at the nose. I mean, that's obviously my kid.
He's pointing
that's
the,
not
the
nose, that's the baby's penis.
The ultrasound.
He don't even know what a penis is. How's he having a baby? Hey, I don't think so.
Listen.
I don't think so.
Just because you're a d-head doesn't mean my kid is a d-head, okay? That's the nose.
Shock-looking audience.
So let's get this moving and find out the results of the paternity test.
Is that why you wanted my pee?
No, that's for something else. So, Matt, when it comes to Molly's baby, you are not the father. You are not the father. You are not the father.
Kim is humping right for Matt. Crowd is amazing.
Yeah. I can't believe we had that much sex and you didn't get pregnant by me.
You didn't.
What?
You didn't.
Well, Jimmy, I have a little news for you. You are also not the father. Yes! Yes!
Oh! 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 Oh!
father.
Yeah, who is the father?
Molly, when it comes to your unborn baby...
Guess who's coming to dinner?
Tracy Morgan. They're hugging. Sweet. All right, you want to call up the...
Tony.
What's his name, Tony?
Tony.
Tony?
Hey.
The Gator Beater?
Hey. Tony. The Mimbo?
Tone.
Strike one, really?
What happened?
Oh, man.
You only got one number?
No, there's two.
Oh, it's two numbers?
I was really confident, though, in the first one, so now I have zero confidence in the second one. Hello? Hello?
Tony? Hello, Tony? I was lucky because I had a putter.
What does that mean? Is a putter better to attack an alligator with than a driver, a big old driver?
I think you'd rather have a gun.
Well, of course you would rather have a gun if an alligator's attacking you. He's on the golf course.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voicemail system. The mailbox belonging to 239.
We should at some point this week, maybe tomorrow, we should call back the owner of the recreational vehicle that was towed out of the driveway.
Yeah, where's the update?
I know.
Bye-bye.
I'm so bummed about that.
Well,
finally,
7.
Trump makes the show.
Well, he opened the show.
Trump opened the show. That's true. I was looking at the, since it is Valentine's Day, I thought maybe the 14 ways to recover from awkward dating moments.
Mm-hmm.
You accidentally call your date by your ex's name. That doesn't happen on a date, does it?
No.
Okay, forget it. You spill wine on the table in your date. Okay, that's stupid.
Wait, they want you to how to survive after doing that?
I guess.
Yeah, I made a mistake, sorry. Oops, what a buffoon I am.
Your date starts talking politics and has the opposite view than you. Now, that probably happens.
Yeah, pretty common, I would think.
The situation is no different than, say, a girlfriend hating sports or a boyfriend hating chick flicks. This is an opportunity to learn more about the other person. There's no need to bash, argue, or ridicule. Focus on learning what the person gets out of certain political views, just as you could try to learn who your boyfriend enjoys watching football, why he enjoys watching football.
Oh, is this written for women?
Ever. I don't know. Your date starts talking about how many kids he or she wants. Oh, get a cab. Immediately. What? I mean... How about these idiots that on the first date, I've seen I swear to God, I've seen this 10 times where people have done this. Girls are talking about it,
uh-huh.
Or maybe a guy in a couple of cases. I'm going to marry you.
On the first date?
You don't know this yet, but I'm going to marry you. Yeah, almost after meeting the girl.
Yeah.
And they tell them.
Is it on The Bachelor? Well, they probably tell everybody that, and then eventually they do. They find one they marry.
Your date won't stop texting and are checking his or her phone. I bet that happens all the time. Well, it does. There was a thing about that in USA Today a while ago. The only time this is okay if an emergency took place, a sick child is home, an ER physician is on call, or suicidal client or patient calls. Even then, rescheduling the date would be advised. If the above is not in play and this is a first date, perhaps even a second, I would say, I see you're interested in something else and my time is valuable. Then excuse yourself and leave.
God.
Go home to mommy.
Your date posts a photo of you both on social media that you not want to be tagged in?
Yeah.
People do that?
Apparently.
Oh, my God. Is that stupid? Simply untag yourself in the photo. If this is bothersome to you, explain you would like to be informed before he or she posts anything involving you. You drank too much too soon.
That's probably pretty common.
Yeah, I believe it is. Breaking serves up sex toys to adult customers on Valentine's Day?
Europe.
Oh, Europe, of course. Well.
Oh, Burger King, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they talked about it on Good Morning America today, and it was pretty risque. It was pretty stupid. Of course, they're all laughing. They were acting like, honestly, Amy Robach was talking about porn.
Amy Robach was talking about porn?
No, they were acting like it when she did that story.
Oh, of course. Jesus. Oh, did you see, what's her name, Schwarzenegger's wife,
Maria Shriver,
Shriver, was had Lena Dunham, was interviewing Lena Dunham, and she says, well, I saw the first three episodes, and Lena Dunham says, oh, then you saw a penis.
I thought she was going to say, oh, you saw my vagina, because that's in the first episode, is Lena Dunham's vagina.
Yeah, I heard her talking to Howard about she has a bush, because if she didn't, she'd look like a giant baby.
No, she was suntanning and pulled her bathing suit to the side so you could see her vagine.
Oh, no thanks.
And then in the first episode, I don't know why I watched the show, but maybe because I have time invested in it.
It's kind of funny. I mean, it's had some funny stuff on it.
Honestly, it has its moments. I find none of them to be involving the main character, Lena Dunham's character, though, if that makes sense.
Yeah, she's really, her character is very annoying, and her personality is rather annoying, too.
Not terribly likable.
But there's some good stuff on the show. I mean.
But so in the first episode, she like goes, she has a job, and she has to go report on this thing at a beach or whatever, and ends up banging the surf instructor, who's, you know, like this ripped, like Hispanic guy. And I'm sitting there going,
hold on.
Really?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Really?
Why would that guy be banging Lena Dunham?
Yeah.
Well, in fact, every boyfriend on that show, I cannot imagine them selecting her to be with.
Yeah.
Like, who's the tall guy with dark hair?
Adam Driver.
Adam Driver. Mm-hmm. Would he ever date Lena Dunham?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, even if she lost 50 pounds, I can't see him dating her. She just, there's nothing hot about her remotely.
She's rude, too. She's not a very, that character is, that's terrible.
Yeah, I agree. And it seems like when her boyfriends on the show break up with her, they're obsessed with her. Yeah. They want to be back with her. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's just, it's so unrealistic. But they always hit on some really bold topics, so it tends to, it can be intriguing.
I like the character Ray. I don't know why.
Which one's Ray?
He's the real cerebral guy that runs the coffee house that just has a problem with everybody.
Wait, does he own the coffee house?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is he gay?
No. He's based. Okay.
Does he work with a gay guy?
Banged Allison Williams and
that's right.
Shoshana, yeah.
If you're looking for the best deal in your new ride, check out our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. DealsInTheD.com is where you'll find thousands of vehicles listed with the very best price in the D. During truck month, you can lease a new Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x4 for $169 a month. That's right, $169 a month. Or if trucks are not your thing, lease a loaded Jeep, a Jeep Compass that is, for $109 a month. So when you're ready for your new ride, check out our friends at DealsInTheD.com. Get there, and they are the studio sponsor. Zot Ford and Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. Find out everything you need to know about the price of your new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story, you probably saw this too, about this guy. God, these stories, it just blows my mind. A revenge porn story.
Yeah.
Do guys ever go to jail for this or get sued for this? They do, don't they?
Yeah, remember that guy with the weird eye?
Oh, yeah.
And then that reporter said, you know, I forgot the exact wording she said. He's like, oh, because of my lazy eye. And she's like, no, because you didn't put pictures of your ex online. I think she called him a creep.
How long do they go for? Just a year or something, maybe?
I don't know.
I mean, it's quite a punishment. It's really, people who do this are so fucked up.
Yep.
First of all, they're stopping women from putting pictures up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Is the future of nude pictures online. Not to mention, it's so destructive. I mean, I can't imagine how humiliating this would be.
It's slut-shaming, which I still don't understand slut-shaming. Doesn't
not
make sense to me.
Not for this. If it's somebody who's trying to, you know, do something for you, and then you turn around and screw them. I don't know. People seem to not understand. Why is it that the whole business of social media, no one has any sense of manners whatsoever or etiquette? And I'm not saying, like... who's the etiquette queen? Miss Manners? Miss Manners, or, you know, any of those people. Not that kind of etiquette, just basic common sense, really. Yeah. Why is it that when people are online or they're on social media, they seem to have no clue about mores or just common decency? Why does that all just explode when it comes to being online or with phones? Even with phones, people are just idiots.
Isn't it because there's a screen there? There's no real connection. You don't see the person.
But you know better. You know shit tons of people
are
reading
stuff. You're protected
by
a keyboard. You're protected by a screen. Isn't that part of it? Not to mention,
I mean, I suppose, but that's just such. It's such short-sighted thinking. You know better. You still know you're sending something to someone. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, not to mention everybody has to get out an opinion immediately on something or whatever. So it's never thought out. So common sense. When something's not thought out, common sense doesn't always prevail.
I think that's the problem with social media. Is that people, everyone thinks they're a star. Everyone thinks their opinion matters. And people who aren't informed at all are going to tell you where to get off or, you know, what's going on or what their opinion is. It's like, I don't really want that many opinions. I mean, I like people who know what they're talking about, but as far as everyone, no thanks. Anyway, I just don't understand why so many people just turn into such assholes in social media. It's just amazing. And some people, you know, that we've met who sent us just horrific email at the radio station. You meet them in person. Hey, how you doing?
Of course.
Like, yeah, I was just kidding around. You know, it's like,
just busting your balls.
Really? Yeah. That
didn't seem like that's the other problem, too, though. A lot of times tone and context is deeply missing.
Well, there certainly are occasions where I know that's happened, and we're talking about small nuances, but in some cases, come on. Anyway, this couple met in April 2013. They were working at the same agency. 2.5 years later, she called the relationship off. He accused her of having an affair. She wasn't having one. He wouldn't let it go. And she said, despite telling him time and time again that I was not, he wouldn't accept it and would demand to see my phone and who I was messaging. He was so paranoid. I felt suffocated and trapped, and we all know what this feels like. Or we know someone who's gone through this. I decided to end it in October 15. So they've been dating 2.5 years. After all these accusations, it was very hard, but I left the house we shared together with just one bag of clothes, and that was it. He starts bombarding her with text messages. He then followed her and her mother on a shopping trip.
What?
And flipped out in the shampoo aisle. I know.
I don't know why that seems funny.
Security dragged him outside. He slashed the tires on her car.
What a psycho.
Days later, did the same to a van she used for work in her new job as a delivery driver.
What a loser. A
week after that, he chopped up all the clothes she'd left at the home before she moved out and dumped them in the bin outside her mother's house. Then, he uploaded the images of her posing for him after she ended the relationship and rebuffed his pleas for union.
Nice. What a dick.
150 pictures. She said, he chopped up every item of clothing and shoes. I was so devastated. I burst into tears. All my possessions were destroyed. Police were called, and they charged him with criminal damage. He pleaded guilty. He was handed a community order. But just hours later, after he gets this community order at Canterbury Magistrates Court, Miss Pashley's crazed ex was again causing havoc by sharing the semi-nude and nude photographs. She said, I was relieved when I was told he was convicted for criminal damage. I finally thought he was out of my life. I was enjoying some celebratory drinks with my mom after such a horrible few months when I heard my phone started buzzing.
Oh, man.
Police investigation revealed Bygraves had logged on to a deactivated account of Miss Pashley and added all her friends, family, and colleagues and then posted the photos.
Oh, great.
People were asking me, why are you putting naked pictures of you on your own Facebook page? Oh, God. Oh, no.
Can you imagine that feeling?
No, I cannot. My heart just dropped. I knew in that moment that he had logged onto my account and posted intimate pictures from our relationship. I was mortified. She rushed to try and take down the pictures, but her password had been changed by him. She contacted the police and took the day off work because she was too humiliated to face her colleagues. When I came back to work, no one said anything about the pictures. I ended up leaving my job. I was too humiliated.
Did she sue him civilly or?
He was charged with distributing private photographs and pleaded not guilty, but in January 2017, he was found guilty, sentenced to 14 months.
That's it?
That's it. She didn't attend the court case, but was notified afterwards. Feels for what he did to her, justice has been served. So she's okay with it, I guess.
Want to hear another fun love story?
Sure.
Do you know about this guy that's suing his ex-fiancée to get the engagement ring back?
Oh, it happens all the time. Right? Okay. All the time.
Well, this one, they almost actually...
Let me do something real fast before we start that. No, I did it. We're done. I'm sorry. I finished. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This couple almost made it to the aisle. The wedding was going to cost $325,000.
Jesus Christ.
It's in New York.
Who's paying for it?
Her parents.
Okay.
Both these families are very, very rich, you'll find out. Oh. But apparently, there was a big argument at the rehearsal dinner. And the bride at one point said, make a choice. Me or your mother? Apparently, he chose mom because the ceremony was canceled, and now he's suing her and the father of the bride and all his other in-laws, and the bride's brother said the ultimatum never happened. So it was the night before. His name is Bradley. Her name is...
Me or your mother?
She's Amy. He's Bradley. So his parents are hosting the rehearsal dinner, as the groom's parents usually do.
Yeah.
And the parents took offense as the bride's brother, Adam, was about to make a heartfelt toast and video tribute.
The bride's brother.
The bride's brother.
Why did they take offense?
The groom's dad inexplicably and angrily declared that Adam is not allowed to speak at dinner.
What?
And then growled, "Do you know what I can do to you?" the lawsuit claimed. He threatened to kick Adam out, and the events began to escalate.
Wait, what? What's the big deal?
It doesn't say what the problem is with the brother. So
because it was their show,
I guess he's in because they're paying for it. That they only get to choose the speaker.
Oh,
Adam is not allowed to speak at dinner. So then the mom began arguing with Adam and the bride's brother. And then the groom's brother, Michael, slugged Adam right in the face. the groom's dad then tried to charge Adam.
These are rich people, too. This is so funny. I know.
While the dad struggled to hold him back, I guess. The evening ended in shouting and tears and the groom's mom phoning guests on the spot to tell him the wedding was off.
Oh!
The father of the groom, owner of Long Island Pipe Supply, threatened to toss his son from the business and cut him out of his will if he went ahead and married Amy. They then changed the locks on the East 45th Street apartment that they shared, preventing her from getting her belongings.
Ooh.
So they had to file a court order to get all her stuff back, and he is now suing her for the $125,000 engagement ring.
Oh, God.
And I looked her up. She's pretty hot.
Oh, let me see her.
Jay, you want to Google her name? It's Amy, A-M-Y, obviously, normal spelling. And then the last name is B-Z-U-R-A. And just do a Google image search because she's shut down her Instagram and her Facebook. But Google image search still has the photo saved of the couple. I think she's too hot for him, personally. He seems a little nerdy.
Oh, she's cute.
Yeah, yeah. I want to know why the brother wasn't allowed to speak too, though.
Oh, yeah, she's a dope. Or he's a dope, I mean.
Isn't he kind of turdly?
Yeah, I could see them together. I mean, I could see them being a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's a tool. Well, okay, he works for his dad, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's, I don't know.
Hey, he's making enough money to buy a $125,000 engagement ring.
Well, he works for his dad. But his dad owns him, basically. His dad's calling the shots.
Well, I know.
All that. I mean, apparently, there must have been an inkling that this sort of thing could happen.
On this Valentine's Day, the only thing stronger than love is being cut out of dad's will.
Yeah, that's right.
And being fired from the family business.
That's the problem. You know, I've been involved in situations like that where, you know, parents can, a lot of times, they want to stay overly involved. You know, they just like to be sort of in your stuff. And if you take money from your parents, then you're sort of inviting them in. I mean, depending on what it is. I mean, like, oh, God, I'm really having trouble with my bill. Oh, why don't we send you, we'll send you a little money every month or, you know, we'll give you a little something. Well, then you're still in that. You're not really separated from your parents at that point. You're still depending on them.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I think they think that, or they like the fact that they can kind of stick their nose in. And then there's some people like to help for whatever reason, just because they like to help. I mean, there's a big difference. But I would think if you've got an intrusive father-in-law, potential father-in-law, or, you know, or mother-in-law, I mean, either way, it doesn't matter. You'd know it by the time you get married. You would know.
Probably for the best that these two idiots didn't get married.
Oh, definitely. For
the
sure.
The problem is the wedding was $325,000, so there's a lot of money involved here. And it's going to be, you know, stuck in litigation.
He'll lose, by the way, on the engagement ring. He will lose. That's a gift.
That's tricky, though. It depends when he gave it to her. If he gave it to her on Valentine's Day, never get engaged on Valentine's Day because then it can be seen as a gift. Or Christmas, if it's days that can be implied as a gift, then yeah, you lose it. Other days, it's implied for a contract of marriage.
Well,
that's how the courts have ruled in the past, and I only know that because That law expert, Dan Abrams, told me that.
Think about frequently, though, on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Think about frequently, though,
not on this
wedding
case,
rings are given on Christmas,
typically.
Valentine's, or birthday.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
why
that's
they're
really
a gift.
Frequently, yeah. And that's,
precisely.
That's
so don't gift. Do it if you're thinking
really,
of getting married.
But truthfully, those dates either. Are no different than giving it on another day. You're still giving them the same thing.
No, I know. But a gift, it's a gift as opposed to something for a contract.
I can just hear you bringing Charlotte up when she gets wedding.
What do you
know,
mean?
Did.
If your boyfriend wants to get married, make sure he asks you on things. If you're a girl,
right.
Make sure he asks you on a holiday.
Just hear the
damn good
already.
Advice.
Yeah, right?
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Isn't it incredible that adults could act that way?
I'll take you out of my will. I'm reading more about
marry that bitch.
His parents offered to cover $90,000 of the $350,000 wedding.
His parents did?
Yeah. That's not,
it's not even a quarter. It's a quarter of the cost.
No.
Why would they? The other family probably didn't want him to cover anything, did they? Or did they?
Originally, no. Yeah. I mean, typically, you know, traditionally, the bride's parents pay.
I think I'd say, you know what? That's okay. We got it. Because then they can claim that we're putting the wedding on when they're only really contributing a quarter.
You know,
it's like when somebody, you know, you buy a $300 meal and somebody says, oh, let me take care of the tip. And then they feel like they've sort of helped treat.
Yeah.
No thanks. I got the tip.
The real winners in this, though, are the people that had to work the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
They get to keep the deposit.
Oh, yeah.
The money.
Well,
they don't have to work. They get the night off.
And the rehearsal dinner people, too, they had the rehearsal dinner. I mean, and the family
got to
their
see
money
all that work. Action.
Hell yeah.
Adam is not allowed to speak at dinner.
What the fuck?
I kind of want to see what Adam looks like.
The groom is such a tool. What an absolute idiot.
Yeah.
That his, I mean, he doesn't look like a kid either. Those people look like they're 30.
She's 27, I think, and he's 31.
And his parents tell him who can speak and who can't speak.
That's a powerful will.
And they tell him who he can marry if he wants to be in the will. Well, he works for his dad, so, I mean, that's a problem with working for a dad. Or, I tell you, even more amazing, I'm amazed that people work for their father-in-law.
Oh, really? Why?
Because
I mean, it depends.
Just, it depends.
If that's where you met her,
depends.
What if that's where you met her, though? She was a colleague. She was working for dad.
I still think you got work mixed up with your marriage.
Yeah.
Who's she going to side with when you have a dispute with her dad?
Yeah.
And you're going to. I mean, everybody has a dispute. I mean, even if it's just a matter of whining about something.
There's nobody an old
wants to hear somebody whining about their dad.
An old saying in Texas, it's in Tennessee, don't mix business and friends.
Yeah, don't stick your ink in company pen.
I found a picture of Adam.
Oh,
the guy who's not allowed to speak at dinner.
I gotta see Adam.
Yeah, the director of procurement. I mean, he looks like a normal guy, I suppose.
So he doesn't wait. Oh, he's the bride's brother.
Yeah, yeah, the one who got punched by the groom's brother. What a disaster!
Oh my God! That's just amazing that nobody wants to defuse that thing. Everyone wants to just go full
steam
ahead. Everyone wants
to fight and then sue. Well, whatever.
Well, you know, in a lot of cases, you're marrying into a culture. If the bride or the groom is, you know, one is of a certain culture and the other's of a different culture, can get very complicated. Mm. Depending on religion or, I mean, a lot of things.
I just want more information of this, fight.
Man, I'd love to have audio of that.
Play by play, yeah. Come on. All the people that film stupid shit on their phone and nobody pulled a phone out at the rehearsal dinner to film this fight.
I know,
isn't it? The declaration of Adam not being allowed to speak at dinner. Phone should have been out.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just so typical. The bullshit that people do film, which you point out on a regular basis.
Yeah, things that are being filmed professionally on television.
Gary had an email from yesterday's show.
Right?
I was amazed at the interview with the BJ chicks. However, after discussion with a friend, I come C-O-M away with a question. Are both chicks giving a BJ to the guy at the same time, or are they doing it to different guys? What's going on there? The interview left that unclear. Maybe you could address this on tomorrow's podcast. Wow. I assume they were with different guys. Yeah. That they're each are kind of having the line.
So I guess, oh, do you think there's just one line and it's just next, or do you think you get to pick which line you want to get in? that could be really
great
awkward.
Question.
What if everybody got in the brown hair girl's line and then no one got in the redhead?
Well, I definitely liked one of the girls better than the other.
Although I'd rather
which line
be,
I'd be in.
I'd rather be first in the redhead girl's line than like second through 5,000 in the other girl's line, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
What?
I don't know if there's that much propriety involved.
Oh, I'd rather be first than any other position in the other guy, other line.
Well,
right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how much mouthwash is being used at this thing.
Exactly.
It didn't sound like they had it mapped out at all.
Ah.
I have 50 people maybe will show up, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, 50 people. There's over 500,000 potentially.
I still want to send somebody out there.
I know. That would be fucking hard.
Someone
hilarious.
Emailed and said we should send Vinny out there, Vinny Stubbs, the high maintenance. Which at first I was like, that would be a great idea, except it would be a lot of work on our part to like schedule it because he's just that high maintenance. Right? Wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, total pain.
And what checks and balances? They just said the Patriots had to win. You had to have.
You have to follow them on.
And
on
follow them.
Social
but
media.
I mean, what? Really? How are they going to follow through on that?
I don't.
You know?
I don't think they're using the city's vetting process. I don't think they're using the same lawyer.
You show up in a Falcons jersey. Are they going to kick you out of the
line?
Yeah,
right.
Or something, you know?
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Oh, here's the doghouse story. Let's see. Thankfully, this wasn't me, but this is a guy I know.
Yeah, it was you.
Years ago, he got married and went on a honeymoon to a resort in Jamaica. He bought a new camera that wasn't digital, but it had a remote control so he could take pictures while you weren't holding the camera. This sounds like an urban legend already. Mm. One day he was sitting on a beach while his wife was shopping. He put the camera on a little table next to his beach chair and kept the remote control in his hand. Whenever a girl in a bikini would walk by, he would ask what time it was, and while they were standing there, he'd take pictures of them without knowing.
No way.
Then they would tell him the time, and he would act like he couldn't hear them, so they would bend over to tell him. Then he would take a cleavage shot down their bikini top. They got home from vacation. He came back to work. He didn't anticipate his wife taking all the rolls to film developer that day. Getting same day service. He came home. She had all the pictures she took of the girl spread out all over the kitchen table and tore him a new ass. But he was already acting like this on their honeymoon.
Whoa.
Wow. Ridiculous. It's crazy. Wait. Thomas Jefferson did not sire a slave's child. You're repeating a rumor. An exhaustive DNA study was done. Yeah, I thought exhaustive DNA study was done that revealed he was
Sally
the
Hemings,
father
right?
of Sally Hemings'
you
child.
You are the father.
The father was likely to have been a close relative of his, but it was, oh, they're saying it was a different Jefferson. That's what the family said.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, that was their out.
Yeah.
Because the Hemings family, I think they were, wasn't there,
the DNA,
wasn't there money involved?
Yeah, and you can't tie it directly to Thomas Jefferson. But it's funny because she was his slave that worked in his house, right?
Yeah, no, I read a ton about this. I don't believe that. I do not believe this is correct. I'm sorry. Who said this?
Who are you?
Tammy. I don't think. I think this was the Jefferson family's way of getting out of paying any money to the Hemings offspring. Wasn't
who
that,
are you?
Isn't that why they came up with that? She also says most of the founding fathers were abolitionist minded. There was a fine line between union and no union. With no union, the founders knew. Well, there's a number of people who signed the Constitution who held slaves. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
You know, maybe
fact.
Saying most, if not all, is probably maybe that's incorrect. This isn't your strong suit. It makes my head explode for you to tell all your young fans incorrect info. Maybe stick to Twitter tramps selling their bodies for whatever.
Whoa.
Oh. I'm ravaged with flu and was hoping for a light pick-me-up. As you can see, my temperature has spiked. Oh, my God. You've got the Jefferson story wrong, Tammy. I'm sorry.
Since 1998 and the DNA study, many historians have concluded that the widower Jefferson had an intimate, long relationship with Hemings and fathered six children with her, four of whom survived to adulthood. The Thomas Jefferson Foundation, which runs Monticello, conducted an independent historical review in 2000, as did the National Genealogical Society in 2001, scholars concluded Jefferson was probably the father of all of Hemings' children. In an article that appeared in Science 8 weeks after the DNA study, Eugene Foster, the lead co-author of the DNA study, is reported to have made it clear that the data established that only that Thomas Jefferson was one of several candidates for the paternity of Easton Hemings.
Well, they can't say for sure who's
if it was or if it wasn't, but she lived with him.
Come on, Tammy. I'm sorry to spoil your image of Thomas Jefferson. but don't blame it on his brother.
His brother, Bob Jefferson, that just walked into my house. Hey, Tommy, let me see that slave girl of yours.
Okay, why don't you Google...
And have six children with her.
Can you Google how many of the founding fathers were slaveholders? Just so we can just find the number. Just for fun. Mm-hmm. She's very upset about this. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Tammy. Jesus. Come on, we get 9,000 things right and one wrong. And you want us to stick to Twitter tramps?
Of the 55 delegates, this is from just a Google search. I haven't vetted this with the city's vetting process.
Okay.
Of the 55 delegates of the Constitutional Convention, 49% owned slaves.
49%? That's half. That's a shit ton, Tammy. Mm-hmm.
Robert Morris of Robert Morris University did not personally own slaves, but you know what? He owned a slave ship.
Is he part of the 49% or the 51?
He's not part of the 49%.
I'm putting him in there.
He owned a slave ship. Oh, he also invested in plantations that
used slaves. Over 49% already. Keep going.
Yeah. Of the 26
slaves. George Washington had slaves. James Madison had slaves.
19 of them owned multiple slaves and relied on slave labor for their livelihood.
How many?
19 owned multiple slaves and relied on them for their livelihood.
Of the 49%?
Yeah. Okay. There's 26 slave owners. 19 owned multiple.
Multiple. Ooh.
Is she going to say that the Civil War was not over slavery?
I don't know.
She says
most of the founding fathers were abolitionist minded. This is a fact. Most would be 51% would not be most. Plus, I'm throwing that guy in with the 49%. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't think your head should have exploded over this, by the way. I don't understand why she's so worried about this. Surely, Tammy, you knew some of these people held slaves. You knew that. You must have known. This Jefferson story, is she reading the Jefferson family version or something?
I don't know.
Because the Jefferson family did, they did try to fight it. I think they did try to say that his brother or his uncle or somebody who had some contact with Sally Hemings, well, it was probably them.
Mm-mm-mm.
Are those slaveholders, Jay?
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin had slaves. Sorry. John Hancock had slaves. Yeah, these are all, these are all presidents. John Adams, Sam Adams. Sam Adams wasn't a president, but he has a great beer. Alexander Hamilton, Federalist. George Washington, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson. That's four presidents right there. Come on, Tammy, give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Now our head is.
I feel a little better.
Our head is fully exploded now.
It should be only half exploded. Jeez, Tammy.
And that stems from the Yale conversation yesterday.
Oh, about Calhoun.
Yeah, John Calhoun. Which there's a lot of cities and counties and a lot of things named after Calhoun.
Well, there's a lot of things named after a lot of these slaveholders.
Yeah. Well, Calhoun, I guess, seems to be a little worse, though, when you read up on him. Senator from South Carolina.
He's a secessionist.
Yeah. It's funny. Whenever I hear Calhoun, I think of the Will Forte character, the senator.
Yeah,
his name was Calhoun. The guy. God, I love Will, man.
I know. I love those guys.
So good.
I got the Saturday Night Live book back, so I'm going to dig into that.
Did you read my dog ears?
I started to today, and I was getting off.
Yeah, there's some good stories.
A story about Bill Hader.
Bieber.
On he's doing his third show, and he met Dan Aykroyd at the after party or something.
Oh, yeah.
Said, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get into a routine. You're going to love it every day, and then at some point, it's going to become routine. You just punch in, you punch out. That's when it's time to leave. And he said his eighth season, that's exactly what happened. He didn't go to the after parties. He just kind of did his work, went home. And
he had kids.
Yeah, he had kids. It was time to go.
But it seemed like the only host he really didn't care for was Bieber. And he said part of the reason was they were doing some sketch where everybody dressed up, and he's like, I'm like a 34-year-old man. What am I doing dressing like Justin Bieber? This is ridiculous. And there was something else he said that implied that Bieber was not the nicest guy.
It doesn't sound like, I don't know, I'm not impressed with him at all. I'm not impressed with his music, most of all.
Kate McKinnon, who plays him now, really,
yeah,
said that he didn't like her impersonation of him.
Oh, wasn't Justin.
It's just a parody. He
doesn't know what happens when you go on Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. that you get made fun of and you're a good sport about it, or you're a complete asshole.
Apparently not.
I'm so unimpressed with him. I'm shocked at the people that hang out with him and say they like him. It really surprises me. and disappoints me gravely.
You'll be all right.
Can you think of a Justin Bieber song you like?
Baby, baby. No, not really.
I mean, I,
that I'm recent one he did with Diplo or whatever. I don't know. I can't think of many that are tolerable.
I mean, he thinks he's headed for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh boy,
he does.
Well, now I have a reason to live to see him not get in it.
I'm sad to
I'm
say.
Have to outlive him though.
I fear that he will get in. It really concerns me,
no.
And I fear it.
Really?
I don't know. He's nominated for a Grammy this year for Best Album, which well, just makes me.
I believe every album he's had has hit number one.
Who buys them all?
Little girls.
14-year-old girls. He gets angry at the crowds because they scream when he's talking because they're girls.
Remember this song? If I was your boyfriend.
Stupid. Play a minute of it.
Will you pull it up, Jay?
Just for shits and giggles.
Hey, Mags.
Mags is up.
I blow a load in my pants because I'm only 14.
Mags.
If I was your boyfriend.
Hey, buddy.
Is this it?
If I was your boyfriend, I'd let you go. I could take you places you ain't never been before. Baby, take a chance or you'll never ever know. I got money in my hands that I really like to blow. Swipe.
Oh, knock it off.
Stop whispering.
What we eating fondue. I don't know about me, but I know about you. So say hello to falsetto in 3, 2, swipe.
Next! Okay, that's enough. That's all I need to hear. Have a good one, everybody. Brandon will be here tomorrow, and Trudy on Thursday, and we'll
have to talk about that documentary too. We never got into.
Oh yeah, for sure. We will. The Eagles of Death Metal.
Watch it on HBO On Demand. It's phenomenal.
Pretty cool. We'll see ya.
Bye, Brandon.